meeting of the Dakota County Commissioners. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted in the west wall near the entrance to the county board meeting room. It's available for review by all citizens in attendance. Let's go ahead and take attendance.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Yes.
Anna?
Here.
All right, to start it, we'll go ahead and start with public comment. If anybody has any comment on anything that is not on today's agenda, if there's anything you want to talk about that's not listed on the agenda, now would be the time to make those comments. All right, second, the consent agenda items, approval of the previous minutes from the meeting on May 20th, 2019.
No claims
this week. No claims.
So moved. Approved. That's my amendments from May 20th.
I'll second that. Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, new business A here. The board to approve payroll claims for the period of May 19th through June 1st. I came in a couple hours ago. I did go through all of the payroll claims. Everything seemed to be in order, so.
I'll make a motion to approve the payroll claims. Accounts payable claims.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, B, Jody Anderson, Big Ox, to present information to the board regarding land application of sludge in Dakota County. You want to go ahead and hook up whatever you, or speak your piece, and then we'll go ahead and listen to the presentation there.
Sure. If I need to hook up anywhere, am I good?
No, you're fine. Okay. As far as talking. Are so, do you want to hook up to your program now?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Why don't you go ahead and step up there?
Step up.
Yeah, you can sit right here.
Okay.
There you go.
Do you need this one?
No. So, nice to meet everybody. I'm Jody Anderson. I'm currently the plant manager for Big Ox Energy.
We can't hear him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on just a second. Does that unplug the microphone?
Yeah, it is on.
Is it working?
It registers to a point, but...
That one doesn't. I think it's this one that's registering.
Those are ours.
Those are yours?
Yeah, those are ours.
Okay.
Oh, this one?
What up?
All right, can you hear me now?
Not very well. Go ahead and start talking, I'll let you know.
Just speak a little louder.
Okay.
There we go.
So I'm Jody Anderson with Big Ox Energy, currently the plant manager here in South Sioux City location. Been with the company 6 months, and as you know, we're currently working through land application approval. That's what the meeting here we requested for today. Our current status is we're land applying our product in the Iowa fields currently. We went through all of the rigorous testing that was required for heavy metals and all the tonnage requirements per ton that goes on the fields. So what we did is we gave you guys a presentation today. Really what it is it has all the metal testing in the presentation, everything that is required by the EPA and guidelines. And so what we're really looking to do is in Nebraska, there's been a lot of flooding, you know, obviously, and so a lot of the topsoil has been removed, especially in western Nebraska. And so we've been requested, by farmers in western Nebraska for our sludge to be able to land apply that product. And so what we wanted to do was look at, a 5 to 7 year plan for removal and land applying that product on the fields. And so we wanted to meet with you guys to kind of go over our presentation, what it looks like, really what the goal is for the land application approval.
Does a 5 to 7 year time frame fit in with all, everything else that you're dealing with? I mean, are you allowed to have that product for that amount of time for on-site there? Or?
Well, we're looking at a 5 to 7 year plan for daily operation of the plant.
Okay.
Right, managing the product that's produced and go ahead and plan apply that.
Right.
I mean, really, as a renewable energy plant, we're taking in 1.5 million gallons of food waste a day that would normally, liquid waste that would normally go to a landfill that you can no longer, it's getting harder and harder to put that stuff in a landfill. So really, at the end of the day, a plant like this is much in need to be able to support a lot of food manufacturing plants in the area.
Is it a liquid or a dried down substance?
There's multiple substances that we get, multiple food waste.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean the end product going out to the field.
So the end product is like a manure. It's a manure substance.
It's not liquid.
Not liquid, no sir. Nope.
Do you dry it down then, or how do you get it to be solid?
Well, we have a wastewater side of that plant, and we have polymers in place, and we remove the liquid out of the product, and then we have our what we create is a manure based looking product that
would
looks
that
like
be
black
similar,
soil.
Similar then to what Tyson turns out down at the wastewater lagoons?
No. Their product is different from our product.
Density wise though, I'm talking about. I mean, you say not liquid, but dense.
Like. Yeah, our product looks like manure. And we have to do sampling once a month.
But what's it from? What's your product from?
Food waste.
From?
From multiple companies in the area.
From?
Multiple companies in the area.
What are they?
Oh.
Who are they?
Well, I came here to discuss the land app process. I can't really get into all those details. That's really not what I can discuss.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and run your
go ahead.
And then anything you want to add to it at the end?
All right.
So you want to run your first slide?
Sure. What is the product? It's organic waste, 100% organic from food manufacturing plants. And we process it through a digester that breaks down the organic waste and creates renewable gas. And then that material is going to be spread as a byproduct onto the fields. And the odor, yes, it's different than manure. It doesn't smell like manure. But it has similar odor smells.
So this product, it's got quite a bit of nutrient value to it. On the per ton basis, it's got 4 pounds of nitrogen, 17 pounds of phosphorus, and then there's less than 1 pound of potassium. We're looking to apply 14 tons an acre, which would be roughly 55 pounds of nitrogen, 240 pounds of phosphorus and 9 pounds of potassium. The 240 pounds of phosphorus would be enough for a 4-year crop rotation, so the farmer would not need to apply any phosphorus for the following 4 years. These are your crop nutrient usages. It's assuming 220 bushel of corn and 65 bushel beans. A 2-year corn bean rotation uses 117 pounds of phosphorus, and 126 pounds of potash or potassium. And as you can see on the bottom of that line, you can see the four-year corn bean rotation. It uses 234 pounds of phosphorus and 252 pounds of potassium. So that's how you're going to get your phosphorus from this product, so you would not need to apply. It's also full of micronutrients, which are beneficial for the crops. The soil, it's got the pH of the product is nothing out of whack. It's actually quite in line, and it's not going to affect the pH of the soil at all. And you can see for your crop nutrients, or the micronutrients, the three sample average from the analysis that we got per ton is 38 pounds of calcium, 1 pound of magnesium, 2 pounds of sodium, 7 pounds of sulfur, and 0.1 pounds of zinc. Here is your heavy metals page. From the samples that we've collected, we've put them into the spreadsheet and compared it to what the EPA 503 guide says for what's concerning heavy metal constituents are. And compared to that, their values, which are on the left under the max part per million column, compared to all the three samples that we've had, we are less than 1% of what the ceiling constituents are.
The loading is how much you're putting on in the field.
Yep. So there's no concern for heavy metals in this product.
So I'd like to note that any rumors that have ever been said that we are meeting the EPA guidelines, so whatever misconceptions out there, we're in line and under the required targets from the EPA.
And I gave you guys two packets, and if you look at the one that says the Midwest Laboratories on it, those are the three samples that we have, so the numbers are all on that, and we just plug them into a spreadsheet to get that. This product will reduce the amount of commercial fertilizers needed. For the 55 pounds of phosphorus that you get from the application, 14-ton application, the farmer would roughly need to put on 100 to 110 pounds of nitrogen to sustain a crop. The application supplies the four-year phosphorus needs, and a full rate of potash would be needed for crop rotation.
So we've had a lot of success on the Iowa side because obviously corn prices are poor, and so the ability to use this versus the high cost of commercial fertilizers has been a good alternative for the farmers.
What counties in Iowa are you currently dumping or were you using?
Plymouth and Woodbury.
Plymouth
and
Cherokee.
Yep. Oh, and Cherokee, yeah.
So they're finding it price effective?
Yes.
Yes.
It reduces the cost of your commercial fertilizers.
Tremendously.
How long have you been hauling there? Or how long have they been hauling out there?
We started hauling in February.
Yep.
But the rain has obviously made it a huge challenge for us.
We just got the Iowa permit late winter.
Yeah.
So we're not able to haul until recently. Of course, it's been raining a little bit this year.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It hasn't had an impact. So we're avoiding flooding areas. We will not put a pile out on flooded areas. And we will not apply to fields that will flood unless it's been worked into the field like you would with a regular fertilizer. So we're trying to be very environmentally conscious in how we're handling this stuff going forward here.
Where are you at with the Nebraska licensing? You said you just...
The way we talk to some other people that have similar products or down in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they said go to the county first and talk with you guys and then go to the NDEQ next and then to the EPA in that order. Make sure that the county has, we're giving direction as far as what needs to be done on this level. And then, of course, if there's more direction that we're going to get from the NDEQ, we'll take that and, of course, the EPA as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this begins working with the farmer. With the farmer, we need a written agreement saying that we can apply the product to his field. And on that agreement, it's a one-year automatic renewal agreement. And on that agreement, you have the landowner's signature and his phone number and address, along with the farmer's, the person who's farming his ground, his owner, or his signature, his phone, and his address. So all the contact information is on the agreement from that farmer and landowner. So before every application to the ground, we're requiring soil testing to be done. So we go out and take samples. I think it's going to be a minimum of a 10-acre grid on the field to tell you what the pK, pH are of the soil. If the pH is below 6, we're requiring lime to be applied to bring it back up to 6.5. If the phosphorus level is already high in the field, we're going to stay away from those areas and move to different fields because they don't need the phosphorus and don't need to overdo it. And then discuss the other nutrient needs, what the farmer should do with nitrogen that next year, and the potassium and the lime. Like I said before, the soil sampling grid size will be 10 acres. Quality samples, we like to take 12 cores per one sample. It reduces the variance from the sample. Sampling will be done between every application. It's going to be a 0 to 8 inch sample, so it's 8 inches down. And the lab testing we're requiring is the P1 Olson test, organic matter, pH, buffer pH, potassium, calcium, magnesium, CEC, and base saturation. So stockpiling starts with tracking the start of the stockpile. We track the stockpile from the start of it until it's spread. We're requiring a minimum of 200 feet distance from a well and residence, and also water sources. The stockpile can only be there for 180 days. If there's problems with the stockpile, if there's runoff coming from it, the pile will be forced to be moved to a different location of the field where it won't have that issue. Also, if it has that issue, you can put a dike around it to hold the water to reduce the runoff. Tonnage for the pile would be able to spread the surrounding field. So let's say the farmer's got two fields that are right next to each other. You could put one stockpile that could cover both fields instead of having two separate stockpiles.
We haven't had a ton with runoff. It's just if we have a problem,
yeah,
we would move it.
Okay. And land application, this is kind of just a description, or a picture to show you how it would be set up. As you can see, there's a well. Whatever it says well there, there's a 200-foot circle around it, so you would avoid that area, and you would not spread that. And then there's a house on that acreage, but it's 200 feet from the field, so it's fine to spread up around it. If it's applied in the 10-year floodplain, it must be incorporated within 48 hours. So let's say, like as of right now, we have a lot of flooding going on. If it would have been applied this spring, it would have to be incorporated within 48 hours. So, yeah, that's how that would work.
Application will stay back from the waterways, it looks like.
Yep.
Drainage.
Yeah, and really what happens is we stockpile in locations, and then you obviously have to wait until harvest is over, and then you can apply again. So that's why you have to watch that.
And some of these decisions that we made on this are based upon Iowa State or Iowa DNR rules, which are under the EPA guidelines as well. But so over here, they might be a little bit different. And actually, the county determines that more so than in Iowa. So we would really defer to you for if there's anything more that you would want to have as far as requiring us to do for a land application.
And then the application only occur once every 4 years.
Yeah. So on a daily basis, what are you estimated the loads you want to drop off in this area? I mean, how many loads a day?
How many tons do we have on a annual basis in the future? Are we going to have?
See, now when that plant's operating at full capacity, you're looking at 200 tons per day coming out of that plant that would have to be land applied.
And how many tons an acre?
14.
100 acres.
Yeah. So we have the Iowa counties that we can apply to, and we would like to include your county as well, and hopefully some more counties over here. So we're not trying to load it up in one location. We want to have opportunities if there's weather issues over here, we can go over there, vice versa.
So down the road, you'll probably present with like Dixon County or Thurston County, other counties
right.
in the area.
Yeah. Yep, correct. Well, we wanted to start here first. But the current sludge or solids we have on site, that's all being land applied in Iowa. It'll be as the plant is back up and fully operational.
You're looking for options when the plant, when and if it...
Be 3 to 5, 5 to 7 year plant.
Whoever's running the plant has to have field application. It's just foolish to put it into the landfill.
Yeah.
You said something about Western Nebraska is already doing this, you said? Or okay.
They're looking for opportunities. There's a digester that's out of Lincoln, Nebraska, and they're currently land applying that on farmers' fields to help with some of the topsoil issues. I think that the farmers are paying for the cost of trucking it. I believe it, you know, it might cost $25 a ton. I'm just spitballing that rough estimate. But generally what farmers are looking for when the crop prices go bad is they're looking for an alternative option that's going to be $75 or less per ton when it comes to, you know, fertilization.
Something to reduce their
Something
input cost.
Something to reduce that cost. And this is 100% organic, so, and all we got, you guys have a copy of all the testing right there, and there's nothing to hide. It's all there.
In order to get the Iowa State approval, we had to do a standardized testing process for the sludge, and that's a monthly test of the sludge. And we put that in the calculator, and if there's anything that shows up with a heavy metal, well, we haven't had that, but if it does show up, we'd, of course, have to treat that separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, we're going by, right now we're going by Iowa State's rules, and it's been working out pretty good so far.
What's it weigh per cubic yard?
We just track it in tonnage going out. We have to track.
So are you, most of it in side dumps? Or what do you...
Yeah, we're using
like
side dumps.
How many pounds are you getting on a load? Because that'd be used to figure out, then.
Yeah, it's like one truck weighs roughly 22.5 tons.
That's the load or the gross vehicle weight?
That's the load. I mean, I suppose that the gross vehicle weight is probably going to be roughly 79,000 pounds.
Close to
80,000. Yeah.
One thing I'm thinking about is that you mentioned the odor, that there is an odor. Is the 200 feet setback and locations and the 180 days to till in, is that... I guess I'm wondering how that impacts odor as you think of residents.
If I had it 200 feet from my house, I'd probably have it moved back. Most of the time, we're keeping it a lot further back than that.
Yeah.
That's the Iowa State code.
That's where that came from.
So, yeah. So, we can have it at a greater distance, of course. And your county can decide what that distance should be, and how it should decide that.
And before any landowner would agree to do it, they would have say on where the stockpile would be.
In the case that we're working with over there, we talked to the farmer, can we put it in this location? This location fits with the rules that Iowa State has. And they say, yes, that would work, but I'd rather have it over here.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that area fits with the
rules,
Iowa DNR code, we do it. And if that fits with the Nebraska, your county rules, we would do it.
So adjacent landowners or residents, do they play into this at all?
the, of course,
like acreages that happen to be.
You can't just put it next to your neighbor because you don't want to smell it. So, yeah, you probably.
Acreages,
want.
That would be the two, the yeah. Setbacks.
The setbacks would be for anybody that lives there.
And you handle all the hauling?
Yeah.
Or do you have the landowner be responsible for the hauling?
Right now, you know, for our business model, the long-term goal is just to give it away for free. But it would be nice at some point to have the trucking paid for, right, to be able to do that versus, you know, the alternative before was it would all was going to a landfill, which is way too expensive for what the plan does.
But right now you're subcontracting the...
Correct. We've got our own drivers driving and then some third party haulers.
So currently the farmer's getting a product at 14 ton that's worth well over $100 an acre.
Correct.
And the stockpiling, are they responsible for the spreading? Or do you come out and spread?
We're currently managing that cost as well, and we're handling the spreading of onto the fields.
Okay.
That's
again,
roughly
a third party.
$10 acre.
But it's still a 6 month before it gets.
If we haul today, not many farmers would want it spread.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So we are in the summertime. We'll wait until the fall to haul to spread, and then there might be some weather events that we might avoid application. We're going to avoid those applications.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a time for that pile to sit there when it needs to sit there because of the weather.
So to me, it's like the same as up at the feedlot up the Allen there. I mean, they bring it down, they stockpile it in a corner of the field
yeah.
or wherever. Come fall, they come out there and spread it every
yep.
spring.
I deal with a lot with manure plants, and it's not any different than that. Yeah.
If there is a runoff issue, is that the landowner's responsibility to move it or build the dike around it, or is that your responsibility?
That's a good question.
Because some of these fields are going to flood, and you're not going to get to it to move it.
So
that's where I'm mm-hmm. I'm coming from on that one.
So we cannot stockpile the 10-year floodplain.
So currently what we did on the Iowa side is we have a bond. We'd have a bond set up in place, X amount of dollars to cover any costs if a month from now BOE doesn't exist and it's under a new name and ownership, right? So we have this bond that is there to cover all costs of anything stockpiled on the fields. And it's over $100,000.
So in Iowa, until it's spread, has been BOE's responsibility.
Correct.
Is this, between Iowa and us here, is this your first attempt at this?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. The company out of the Lincoln area, do you by chance know how long they have been doing this?
I don't.
Do you know their name? We could try contacting them.
Yeah, I'm not sure who owns that.
I'm not sure either.
Okay.
And I talked to him. Sorry.
Can you get that information and get it back to him?
Absolutely can.
Yeah. I'd like to know kind of the long term effects that this has had more than going back just a couple months. I mean, I understand the process. It's the same as all spread on, but I'd like to see maybe some long-term
where they've had a few
results.
Years.
Historically, they've been applying about one every 3 years, or actually sometimes more, and then they retest it on their stuff. I can't say it's the same as what we have, because in my opinion, you have to think about the crop removal, and you got to think about the product, and you got to match that up
sure.
to make sure that it makes sense for that, the tonnage as well as the term that you're applying it under, you know, whether it's 1 year or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And the crop you're
absolutely.
Planting.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this in Woodbury, Cherokee, and Plymouth counties? One year?
No, I would say months.
Oh, did you start it?
Yeah, we just started. We got the permit to start.
Okay. Yeah, I should say we got the permit in February, and I think we started hauling in March.
Is that stuff? Yeah,
just recently.
They don't really have a lot of background.
And Brad and I are the agronomy side of the equation, and so we do the agronomy work for Big Ox. And that's kind of how Iowa State or Iowa DNR wants. They want an agronomist to manage things, make sure that the math is right on the analysis.
So when you're getting your core samples every 10 acres, 0 to 8 inches, what's that process? Are you actually going down and picking up a core, or are you...
Yeah, use our soil probe.
Yeah, get your core and then test it at different levels within that core.
Yep, or per sample. So you take one sample is 12 cores in the 10 acres. Then you put it in the bucket and mix it up, and you put it in the bag.
Okay.
And that sample represents that area.
Yeah. 0 to 8 inches, the average of that.
Exactly.
You bet.
Do you do that testing yourself, or do you have an independent third party do the testing?
The soil sampling itself, we do the sampling.
Okay.
The lab test results, we deal with certified labs for the state of Iowa in this case.
For the sludge.
Oh, yeah, correct. For the sludge, it would be a certified lab doing the sludge and the soil sampling.
They go out and physically take the sample and do the testing, or you take the physical sample and send it to them for the testing?
Are we talking the
sludge?
Yes.
How do you
know that process. I'm not...
Right. Are you talking about...
I'm talking about once you take it out to the field and you want to start doing the sampling...
Oh, okay. We're completely
The
analysis of the sludge is tested on site at BOE.
Yes.
The land, of course, is sampled. The soil samples are sampled prior to the application to make sure that application is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's determined to be okay, then we apply it onto the field. And I don't know. So
there's no follow-up sampling after you've put it out?
No. Once you mix the sludge with the soil, it's mixed.
Then you don't go back for 4 years? Or
before we apply it again, we have to sample it. We have to take a soil sample again.
Okay.
So we're not going to say, okay, we can do it forever just with that one sample. We're going to sample prior to every field application of sludge.
Okay.
That's what you're...
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. I want to know what the follow-up sampling was before you reapplied it. Yep, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good question. All right. Well, I thank you for that information. Very informative. We'll go ahead and take some time to go through all this, and
appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you
for the presentation. Lou.
Good afternoon, Board.
Good afternoon.
So, a couple questions. Now, this is for you.
Okay.
Okay. You're all right. Okay, so to me, there's only two ways that this can be put on the soil, either as a land application as a fertilizer or a dump site. So, in the information you had, is it being applied as a fertilizer?
That's what they said. They're using it as a fertilizer. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so someone here needs to contact Buzz Dance at the Department of Ag, because when somebody is a manufacturer, they are the distributor, and that's all they can do is distribute. They cannot apply. Only the landowner can apply. So I think some investigating needs to be done before anything is passed to do this. And second of all, I think in the history of what I have been involved in a while back is Peptone being dumped on a Missouri River sandbar, and that had to go through a whole lot of process to get the United States Fish and Wildlife to stop it. So I think before things get to the point to where it's not legal or there's problems that we can't foresee, because we don't know when somebody is going to apply something. That's like if I go out and apply something to my land, you don't know how much I'm putting on. I could be putting on 6 times more just to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think your point is very valid, you know, and it is our responsibility to look into all the information we got here, you know, and see what...
Go ahead, Tony.
But the situation now today, without the county attorney in presence here, you know, because she's not here today, it's really difficult for us to make any even statement, you know, that what the legality on the matter is, because she's not here, and we depend on issues like this based on her information, you know, what she guides us to do, what we're supposed to do. But I think he's asking us good questions, so I just want to let you know the county attorney's not here today.
And speaking for myself, I think that, you know, this is just a beginning of a process. I mean, we're not jumping forward and getting behind anything. This is an informational meeting, and there's certainly a lot of questions to be answered before, you know, anything would be considered in Dakota County.
Okay, because I think as far as the history of what's been done here in our county, it concerns me as far as our land being used as a dump site. Now, the issue of not taking it to the landfill because of expenses and whatever. You know, just because something's expensive doesn't mean that our land can be problemed with issues that it should not be.
Absolutely. We're not looking to, you know, do anything, obviously, we're an ag county. We're not looking to do anything to hurt anything in Dakota County, for sure.
Okay, well, in the past, with Fish and Wildlife, which I have here, it's, to me, our county has been abused, and I hope it stopped. I don't know if it is completely, but I hope it is, and I think it's something that we all need to be concerned about, and you know, with as far as the taxpayers, you know, there's so many of them that are not involved, and what the concerns should be in our county, and there's not many to come in and speak up of questioning what's going on. So the few that do, I hope it's helpful.
Dakota County is going to be here a lot longer than any of us are, and I hope it stays in great shape for generations to come, and that's what I think we'll look at going forward.
Right.
Okay. And also the odor problem. I mean, if it sits there for how many days?
180.
That's a long time to be drawing a lot of flies.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's water standing around it, even though it can be dyed, that's a lot of insect problems.
This is what I mean, you know, we need to look into very many issues that we don't know yet. That's
okay.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Good.
Oh, thank you. Can't forget that. Thank you.
My name is John Curran. I'm here on behalf of my father, Terry Curran. He used to run the jail here, actually, and my uncle's Elliot Saunders, so I don't want him to raise a few eyebrows, good or bad, but
that's all good.
He gets a little feisty sometimes. But I guess the main concern I have with this operation over there is I work for the Sioux City Wastewater Treatment Plant, and I hold an Iowa Grade 4 wastewater treatment license. They don't give a Grade 5 out. And if I want to give Lincoln a donation, they will honor this, and they give me a Nebraska Grade license, too. So, you know, this is...
So you have a background.
I've got a background. I think I'm the first person that's probably come here and can actually tell you some factual stuff. I don't have a PhD. I'm not that smart. And I am here in no way, shape, or form anything to do with the city, Sioux City.
Yeah.
So I got involved with this Peptone stuff Lou was talking about. That's how I got in the radar. But this Big Ox plant, when they fired it up, from what I had heard, the operators they got were from ethanol plants. They didn't have a background in waste treatment. And the plant manager was a regional manager at Blockbuster Video. And you kind of know how things went from there on that. And what concerns me with the sludge they're putting out is they kind of act like it's Spears the Wind Driven Snow, that this is all going to be a beautiful fertilizer product. And to break the sludge down, you have to have retention time. An anaerobic digester means lack of oxygen. So you put this in this big holding tank, and you keep it heated. Normal industry standard is about 90 to 95 degrees. And you've got to keep it in that tank and keep it mixed. And it should stay in there for about 3 to 4 weeks. And kind of the chit-chat I had heard is their stuff is about 3 days is what they kept. And what you're looking for in that time frame is what they call volatile solids reduction, because there's waste in there that's active, that can be eaten and broken down by the little bugs and microorganisms. Mm-hmm. And you give it time to kind of just digest, like and always like it to a stomach at the plant. So, and the deal, he's giving you all these numbers, how great and how wonderful it is, and I thought this was great. You kept asking him, what are the solids contents? And you had to ask him, what are your total solids? And if he comes up with a number, say like 6%, it's going to be like pudding. 14-15%, it's going to be kind of like wet dirt, you know. And I kind of question that. You're the plant manager and you can't give me a total solids content. But the other issue, going back to the volatile solids reduction, is that there's a pollutant for the EPA they consider a conventional pollutant called BOD, biological oxygen demand. You take waste, sewage, whatever, and say you put this on the ground, you get a big rain, it rolls off in some guy's farm pond. This waste hits that farm pond, and there's little bugs and microbes in that farm pond that love that stuff, and they start eating it and breaking it down, and as they do that, they respirate and pull oxygen out of the water. And they pull enough oxygen out of it, they'll starve the pond off and kill it, and you'll have a fish kill. And that's actually happened a couple of times with that Peptone product down in Odell, Nebraska, and just outside of Lawton, actually, I've had that happen too. So, yeah, I kind of worry that this is not a municipal treatment facility. This is a kind of a fly-by-night operation. Thought they were going to make gas. They're billing themselves as a treatment plant, but it's not. So,
you know, what do you do with your sludge over there?
What do we do with it? Initially, we took it to Gill Landfill, and Leonard wasn't happy with the total solids content. We were running about 14-15%, and that was just a little too loose for him. You know, again, you were worried about the solids content, so we're getting new equipment over there, and we're going to be in the low 20% range. But what we do is the city owns land down by the airport, and they go out there and disc that in. And we're having issues now where they're taking areas of that plant, and they're going to put an on-site storage with like a concrete base to hold like 180 days worth of that biosolids.
How many tons of the day do you guys turn out?
Oh man, I'd have to. I wish I had that number for you. I can tell you. Oh shoot, we've got anaerobic digesters behind a plant that deals with the big domes on those. Each of those hold 1 million gallons. We've got 6 of those that are actually online, and when we've got the belt filter presses running, we're probably running 200 to 250 gallons per minute across those belt presses, and you've got 3% solid. A 3% total solids product going on the belt. Time it kicks off the belts, it's at 15% total solids. So I had to sit down and do all the math for you and stuff like
a lot.
That.
You gotta go
a
school.
Lot. That's the layman's.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to grind down to a consistent, to be kind of a sludge, you know. Thing.
Yeah.
How many truckloads a day would it be?
We've got a company called Big A that comes, and they've got a freightliner. It's got a dump bed built right onto the thing, and he is there, I'd say, probably darn near a dozen times a day, you know, just unloading that truck, and sometimes they'll get behind, they'll get a big side dump come out, and there'll be days, you know, you can get out in the field, and that's why you've got to have all that storage. So. What else I could kind of run down for you, but yeah, there's been situations with fish kills. Lou talked about the what's his name? A guy named Robert Harnes from the U.S. Department of Interior. We had this problem with the Peptone being dumped north of Jackson. It was a dump ground. It was six truckloads a day, 6 days a week. They were going out there, opening the back of the chute of the truck. The stuff was coming out at 180 degrees. It was coming from Mobrin Biological.
Yeah, right.
They dumped this on this guy's ground and just saturated the holy hell out of it. Yeah. And his crops died. And he would file for crop insurance, and he just happened to have a brother in Wagner, South Dakota, that does farm insurance. So you tell me there's not something a little shady there, but...
Well, I appreciate that information. You had a lot of good information.
Yeah, you got any questions, just ask me. But I'm kind of getting at is this isn't a wastewater treatment plant. This is a company that's in trouble that just can't seem to answer questions.
That.
So,
thank
yeah.
You, thank you for thank your
yep.
information.
So, I'll get out of your air.
All right, Shirley. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Shirley.
Yep. Oh, questions. What's your road budget?
That's a good question. Well, the road budget is over budget, is what I will tell you.
Okay. Because you're going to put a lot of equipment on that road, right?
Oh, yes.
I was a rural mail carrier for 70 miles on the bottom in the, how many years ago? In the 70s.
Yeah.
And they were spreading ponds. And do you want to know how many county people stopped me when I put mail in a box? And they covered that with soil. Do you remember the paunch spreading days?
I remember it because it was a half a mile from my house.
Okay.
So I remember
okay.
it well.
And that was just the mail carrier hearing the people on the route and the people that were using your roads.
Yeah.
So... Okay, what is the cost to your county of the road maintenance? There's a lot of things, and I'm sure you're looking at it all. When he says, who handles the hauling, now it would be free? I get over to Iowa right now and ask every single question that they couldn't answer.
Yeah,
sure.
I know... and the wastewater in the it is just a scary a business.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I probably got too many questions. When he says you can hardly put this in the landfill, is too much. Each of the things he said, I'm just. And it's a 5 to 7 year plan. And what if you, okay, we're going to stockpile this 200 foot from a well? Oh, my gosh, sorry. We're in trouble. It's too late then. Every single thing you have to know. Stockpile what? What's in it? And this is our water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even let my bird bath get dirty for fear they're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we're drinking. This is that water tower over there. I don't want the sludge lagoon that close to it, and no one else does.
Mm-hmm.
I know I question how many tons per day and how many tons per acre, so that's just some of it.
Yeah.
Which is I could give you a headache, but I won't.
But I appreciate it. Thanks for your comment,
thanks
Shirley.
For your
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shirley.
All right. Go ahead.
My name is Wendy Modlin. Really didn't think I'd be here again.
Yeah, I know.
In 20 years.
Yeah.
The talk about hydrogen sulfide, the talk about all of this again, literally makes me sick. Because I will tell you that company played a part in my mom's death.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. Some of it were answered. But the bottom line is this organic smells. And I'm sick of smelling shit at my house. And I really hope you're taking all of that into consideration and you're taking the residents of Dakota County into consideration because this company, since day one, has not done the right thing.
That's true.
And I hope that you guys are looking out for your citizens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. Yes, sir.
Robert Baker. I wasn't going to get up here, but then I thought, well, I better, because I hear that organic thing, and it just drives me insane. You know what they qualify organic? If you look through their list of the chemicals that they have in there, is arsenic, barium, and chromium. None of you are going to take a drink of that stuff. That's what's in their organic material. Same thing with the stockpiling. I mean, you've probably seen the DEQ reports. They're stockpiled. They're desperate to get rid of that stuff up there. It is piled up so much. They had an infestation of Norway rats up there. I mean, that place is just out of control, you know. And like Wendy said, I've been out of my house 2.5 years. They killed my dad. That's how they run that place. They have not had one good day since they opened that plant. When they turned on that faucet, it was bad. They do everything half-assed. You know, that's just like this. You got from the manager, I gave you copies of that. We don't have enough money to get trucks to haul this stuff. You know, but now we've got this big plan. We're going to do this. So where's the money going to come from? What are they going to do? They don't have a plan. They started hauling this, and the state shut them off. Now they've come back to you to go a roundabout way to get to the state because they were shut off.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank
Robert.
You. Thank you.
Can I say one more thing?
Yep.
30 seconds.
No, no.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Kevin. Okay, you know, and I talked to Buzz Vance this morning, and I have him on speed dial. But anyway, he said that they, whoever needs to first deal with the state and get those in order and then maybe come to the county. But the county really doesn't have any jurisdiction over state laws.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're right.
So.
And I think this was probably, on their behalf, was probably more of an informational deal because they didn't ask us for anything either. You know, they gave us the information. So, I'm not sure what this process is going to look like in the end because they haven't asked for the commissioners to get behind it or they haven't asked for, you know, a blessing to spread it in Dakota County.
So then why are they here?
They said informational. So that's what we got is information.
Well, okay. So, anyway. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you, Lou.
Appreciate it.
Lou.
Anybody else?
Can I get Buzz's phone number from you?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go on to see.
No, we got time.
Oh.
Yeah, but you've been sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you doing, Mark? I've got a card here, some information on it. It's with the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality.
Yeah.
Jason Windhurst. He told me that this stuff is not to be dumped, and will they ever give them a permit to dump this on Nebraska ground? Okay. Here's his phone number, all his information if you'd like to contact.
Yeah, thank you.
And then if they do fire it up, here we come back with that horrible smell. Right now it's been pretty nice out there. Larry, you guys all got
yeah, I know that. Space.
Thanks to Larry, I guess.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Thank you, Kevin.
Anybody else? All right, thank you.
Thank you, all you guys.
Amanda Harper, housing specialist from Simcoe, to request a letter of support for housing application grants to the Federal Loan Bank of Topeka to provide funds for owner-occupied rehabilitation projects in Dakota County. So look what you did. Look what you did, Amanda. Look what you did.
Wait, listen.
All right, Amanda, thank you.
So I'll kind of stand this way so I can talk to you that are left.
Uh-huh.
My name is Amanda Harper. I'm with Simcoe. I am their housing specialist. What I do is I write and administer grants for housing programs, both in Iowa counties that we serve and in Dakota County as well. Last year, we applied for this grant and were not awarded. We were 2.5 points shy of being awarded. So,
oh boy.
For our first time applying, that is amazing. So this year, I've made some changes to the application. We have a sponsor, Siouxland Bank, just down in South Sioux City. They're going to sponsor 20% of the units at $500 each. So roughly $3,000 to $4,000 that they're going to donate to the grant for.
Oh, nice.
Their donation will give us 10 points on our application alone.
Oh, good.
So, excellent. Fingers crossed, we will get awarded.
But a little bit more about the grant this year. Federal Home Loan Bank has upped the application amount. We can apply for $1 million, and we will apply for every penny of it because we need it here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing owner-occupied rehab, and what that means is if you own your home, you live in Dakota County, and you are low income, then we can come in and help you rehab your home.
No, very nice.
That means siding, windows, roofs, furnace, water heater, sidewalks. We can work with the cities here and even do like nuisance abatement items, maybe some houses they've been after for a while to get it painted, get it sided, picture sidewalks, that sort of thing. We can help with those items as well.
That's great.
Not to the great part yet. This is essentially winning the lottery for these homeowners. We'll be spending about $33,000 per home. Federal Home Loan Bank this year has lifted the requirement for deed restriction on the property. So there's no filing with the county recorder, anything like that, which makes our process this year, if we're awarded, a little bit different from any other grant that we've done, because we will rank our applications on order of need. So if we're awarded, when we're awarded is how I like to say it, I will be back to request that somebody from the county be on our housing committee, and then I will try to have one from each city as well. So that way everybody has an input on how we're going to rank the application, who's going to get the assistance. Second part is, I guess that's needs to be said, is priority. We'll go to census tracts. Let me try this right. 103 and 104, which is the more rural parts of Dakota County. Applicants from South Sioux City are eligible, but we're really looking at Homer, Hubbard, Jackson, and those areas outside of South Sioux City. South Sioux City has a lot of money coming in. I work on their housing grants there already. It's kind of time for Greater Dakota County to get a piece of that too. So I'm really hoping this is the year. From the county, I'm asking for just simply a letter of support. We don't need any money from you.
That's the great part.
Just a letter with a signature, and actually I already wrote that out for you, and Joan has it, so you can read it and sign it. And I guess while I'm here, for anybody else that's still here, thank you for staying. If you have a private business, your work, or anybody else who would be willing to write a letter of support for us, we will definitely take it. The more we can show the need for the county and the support behind the project, that increases our chances of getting awarded and shows a readiness for the county. I know you guys have done your economic development study recently. I think that finished in 2017. So I will submit that with the application. I think it was 2014 that you guys did your comprehensive plan, so that might be time for an update. Just to plug Simcoe there a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So think about us when you guys are ready to do that.
When do you have that information in?
For the application?
Yeah.
That will be submitted on or before June 28th.
Mm-hmm. Around the corner, right?
Yep.
So these are grants, actual grants.
Right.
Grants.
Not matching or anything. So
correct.
A homeowner could get a grant for up to whatever.
33. I think 33,000 is what we're looking at. With
that would be amazing if they were lucky enough to get it. That would be a great shot in the arm for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. Some requirements that we're putting in, and also that will help us get additional points. At least 20% of the homes will be homes of veterans and or their widows. So we're putting that in. I have contacted the Veterans Affairs Office here, and then the Legion out in Homer to get some letters of support there. And I've been working with Support Civilian Soldiers with that organization as well. So
did you talk to our Veterans Administration Officer here in the courthouse?
Yeah, I sent them an email
just
last week, I think.
Okay.
So we'll be in touch definitely before we submit the application.
Great.
So it'll be important to have that that contact in there and that letter of support. So just make sure I'm not missing anything. Simcoe will be responsible for the application, the administration of the program, ensuring that we are serving low income of Dakota County. And that low income number, for one person, the lowest income is $14,250, so they have to be below that.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a stipulation in there that some of our homeowners have to be below that number. And the highest for a single homeowner is $38,000. So we have a pretty good range there.
Yeah,
as long as they're basically below $38,000 for a single homeowner.
How are you going to go out and try to find homeowners to apply for this?
When we are awarded, we will do, since we're doing ranking the applications, we will do probably radio, the Dakota County newsletters, websites, mm-hmm. And we'll do kind of a mass, you know,
get
marketing
as many
push in and
rank them.
Working with local organizations to get them. And we'll probably do like a 30 or 45 day application period. And at the end of that, we'll rank the applications.
Very good. Well, I hope everything works out. Thank you for doing it.
It'll be a couple years of work for me, so
yeah,
it's also my job.
Thank you very much.
But if anybody needs a card or anything, let me know.
You can go ahead and sign this and get that back to you right now if you'd like.
Sure, that works. We'll pass these around to that way. You can have them.
Yeah, we should make a motion to.
I think we do. Yeah, I'll make a motion for us to sign that letter of support.
I'll second that.
There you go.
Larry?
Thank you.
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can we have one more card?
I'll do one more.
Please.
Larry.
Thank you.
No, I got two.
Oh, you got two?
Oh, you took two. That's why. Oh. Does everybody have one now?
I was going to give one to him.
Okay.
I was going to give one to a person I know.
Oh, very good.
Important person.
All right. D, you want to come up and help me with the pronunciation of the name? On the temporary liquor license, the special designation liquor license? At 500 142nd Street, South Sioux City, for a fundraising event on June 29th from noon to 10 p.m.
Yes, my name is Sammy. I was run with the community, but my people were the tempo here to get things done every bunch of years, you know.
Yep.
Part of it is one of my nephew, John Rovella, we create my brother and my sister and family, we can do part of it, religion a little bit in there for, you know.
Uh-huh.
Just let you know that we get together and, you know. And
do they have, did you talk to the law enforcement to
yes,
get, you have two officers
yeah,
for that?
Yeah, and
that's
if we need to, yeah, if we need
yeah.
to, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So we get at South Sioux or?
Dakota County Sheriff's Deputy.
Yeah.
And, so you just call it. What's the best way to do that, Kevin? To contact the sheriff's office?
Yeah, just contact the sheriff and.
Yeah, just contact the sheriff and they'll take care of assigning that. But make sure you have that or you won't be able to have your event.
Okay.
You have to have two officers.
Two officers.
So the area that you're going to serve liquor, not the liquor, that they were expensive, right? It's 2x300. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah, I see the map.
Yeah.
But it's expensive. I mean, you got
yeah, that's good.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We'll make a motion quick here, and it looks like if they get law enforcement secured, I don't have an issue with it. Anybody else have additional questions?
Is the public invited?
anybody can welcome, because it's religion, you know, quarter one of years, and us community and together. And
I need a Corona, don't forget.
Yeah, we have a sticky rice. We have a sticky rice.
Yes,
sticky rice.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the designated legal license for this fundraising event.
What's the fundraising for again? Are they raising money for the chapel or for the...
For the temple.
For the temple. Okay.
I guess I have one question.
Yes.
Do you have an alternative date if the weather doesn't permit?
Yeah, but it's got to be done at June 29th.
It has to be?
It has to be, yeah.
Okay.
Because the thing is, you know, we get together and our communities, our out-of-state people might volunteer.
Oh, coming?
Yeah. Even the rain, because pay for
rain and shine.
Yeah, sunshine.
Yeah. My take for this
year.
Yeah. Everybody welcome. Okay, thank you.
Give us just a couple minutes. She's going to get a copy for you.
Yeah.
And then we'll go forward.
Welcome, so swing by and see how our solution.
Yeah, maybe there.
I got your corona and sticky rice.
Very well. We'll be there. You got those products. Welcome. Thank you. Have a great day. Great event, too.
Yeah, we just need to vote on it.
We have a young theater.
So, do we need to make a motion to approve that?
Tony did.
Well, okay.
I did.
Yeah. Larry seconded.
Okay, yeah.
Larry seconded. Yeah. So we need a roll call from her. Thanks.
And she'll give you a copy right now. Just she'll be bringing the other copy here in just a second.
Thank you, Amanda.
Amanda's running out for the road report, Larry. Larry. hold on just a second, Larry. We'll get the roll call down here.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't mean to take your card. But I want to give it to somebody.
Get that program.
I already.
If the program gets due, that'll be a great program.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
It's been a long time since we had something like that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
We don't have to cross
areas.
Yeah, without a match, you know, and people, and it's going to improve the homes. So, I mean, it's a total win-win-win.
There's half a dozen places I could drive right out to right now, but
if you put $30,000 into them, you could make a heck of a difference.
Well, yeah, even $5,000 would help a lot, you know.
We need a roll call.
Okay. Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, Fred, go ahead and go on to the road report.
May 19th through June 1st, 205 total hours of road maintenance, overtime 3 hours, debris removal 4, culvert project 15.5, blacktopping 22, gravel haul 2,443 tons, wheat spraying 21 hours, sign and barricading 28.5 hours. I have 2 road concerns down. There's probably some more I've missed. 2 on gravel, F Avenue and Knox, and a culvert on 260th Street, which was being done today.
All right. Yeah, I heard that was going in today, so that's great. Any follow-up on the approaches to the bridge that we put in out there?
No.
They understand there's an issue?
Correct.
Okay.
What there is there's probably enough fill there. We'll just widen out what fill is there, make the road wider.
Pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, the side dump, you just, you know, you bring the gravel to the center and dump off the side.
Reshape it.
But I have a concern somewhat with the bridges, existing bridges that are like the high bridge down north of Jackson.
Yes.
The one at Jackson on the south end of it, on the east to west side.
I have contacted the federal highway that is in charge. The federal and state highways are in charge since it's federal aid roads north of Jackson, or right there by Jackson.
What about M?
M Avenue is also federal highway, federal aid road.
So then they'll pay for the repairs.
They're trying to tell me right now that there was scouring before. And that they don't, that we didn't repair the bridges before their scouring, and now they don't want to do anything with the damage that's done to the bridge. I told them it was more like having a dent in your pickup door, and I didn't turn it into my insurance, and now my pickup's totaled out, and you don't want to give me anything because there was a dent in the door before.
Yeah.
I took more pictures and more, gave them more proof of the scouring and the problems we have now, sent it back. I have not heard anything from them.
Whoa.
The one north of Jackson, they have moved forward on that.
They
is an I'm telling you, I get lost in our
Ernie.
Yeah.
Papio, Missouri involved.
Papio is involved, and the county. I've hired Manelli Wagner to do the permits. They're going to drive down sheet piling to protect the one set of, make a design for the piling that's out in the channel. That's their concern now, that affects the bridge. They're going to try and, the channels are all getting so wide,
yeah,
right down there.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and narrow up
where?
And narrow up the channel and then re-riprap underneath the east side of that bridge. But I haven't got in. I've also asked Husker Steel for a price on wings on the one there at Jackson to extend the wings out. There's still going to have to be some kind of riprap and stuff underneath for the sheet piling on the approach of the bridge.
Those approaches, are those pile caps, the concrete portion?
Yes.
Are they sitting on the piling?
Yes.
And the piling are tied into them?
Yes.
So it ain't like they're just fall out of there. So the sheet pile are there. Yeah. I had Tim, I talked.
Well, what usually happens is it kicks the bottom out.
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently, but they're not reinforced or braced or nothing, and you're going to have legs standing out of the ground 40 foot.
Yep.
The buckle.
Yep. And then your bottom usually, your bottom kicks out and your approach drops down. Your bridge, as far as your structure, is still good because it is on the pilings.
Yeah.
You know, the structure of the bridge, but it's your two approaches of the creeks are getting wider than the bridges is what's happening.
Well, it's boiled down to the concrete pile cap just going to be suspended on top of the piling. There's nothing going to stop the dirt from coming under from the approach of the bridge.
A creek.
Going back out into the creek.
A creek.
That's a bad deal.
All right, I did have an email, Fred. A lot of times you get a lot of complaints, but I got a really nice email on Mr. Roost and the fine work he's been doing out in his area.
Good.
And so that was nice to see.
It was.
Good compliment.
And a couple other things. Maybe going forward, we're thinking about maybe just doing like a little 15-minute meeting before the meeting so we can touch base on the things with you that we don't need to do in the meeting.
Okay.
You know, just
sounds good.
Thinking about that. And then you must have lost a bet because I see you're wearing a Packers shirt.
They have to be represented once in a while, Marty.
I can't
have purple in here.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Freddy.
All right. B, board to approve the interlocal cooperation act agreement, Dakota County Urban Area Stormwater Management Association, by and among the city of South Sioux City, Dakota County, for the purpose of complying with the MS4 permit regulation in urbanized watershed area. That's a mouthful. We've been meeting the city of Dakota City, myself, our county attorney, and the city of South Sioux been meeting. There was a street sweeper that was bought by funds that were paid for out of this group's funds. So now that this the time has kind of run on this thing, we just needed to make an agreement on who has access to the street sweeper and how much an hour it costs to use the street sweeper. The county really has never.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to reverse those then. So the it's the same meetings. We have some places, Larry, it'd be like on the Kingsbury Interchange, the culvert at the end of our property. There's seven culverts that the state needs to have monitored. They need to be monitored on a monthly basis to see if anything's coming through them. And if they do have stuff running through them, it needs to be monitored. I believe it's bi-yearly. And one of them is right off the end of yours, Lou, there on Highway 20, the big culvert at the end of the lake there. So we just need monthly to have somebody from our county go out and check these seven culverts. There hasn't been anything run through any of them for years, but, you know, as the water table comes up, it's more of a concern. So we've put into force what those seven culverts are, and we'll have to we're talking about maybe having Deanna from Emergency Management put that on a route where she can go out monthly and check those, and if there is anything, then take a sample, and then the city of South Sioux will take care of sending those samples in.
But, is that water quality?
It's a water quality, and also the main thing they're looking for is runoff. Say if we have an accident, and you spill 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel. You know, they just want to make sure that we're not getting anything into our water systems. Yes, Lou.
Okay, speaking of that little culvert, do I need to stay on the line again?
Yes. No.
My name's Lou Franco. It's about that little culvert over there.
Yep.
That runs under 20 from Crystal Lake.
Yep.
And that, okay, now here's the deal. I don't know if it's CBA anymore or if they changed, if somebody else bought it. But they have their fertilizer tanks, their diesel tanks, all in dikes, diked areas.
Yep.
So then when too much water gets in there, what they did is they dug a trench and put a pipe in on their north property line about 20 feet. And it runs into Old Crystal Lake. Now, just saying that, I think that's illegal. But what do I know? But, so when it rains, and it gets, or snows, and it gets accumulated in those diked areas where those tanks are sitting, those storage tanks, whether it's fertilizer, diesel, whatever they have, they pump out of that into this tube and it goes down into Crystal Lake. The Old Crystal Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Otherwise, that's pretty dry down there before they were doing this. My land was dry. I could go down there and I could seed it. I get grass and whatever. Ever since they've done it, they've pumped water in and it's killed it halfway back. Now, I know I can do something there, but I'm... anyway. So, and they say they monitor that. Well, anybody can say anything. So, will they test this water?
No, they'll only be testing the culvert. And if something's running through the culvert, they'll test what's running through the culvert.
Well, they'll be run... Okay.
If there's nothing running through the culvert...
They won't test it.
It won't be tested.
Okay. Okay.
Yep, that's just the parameters of what this program is.
Okay.
It's more to do with like the city of South Sioux and Dakota City. They have all these places where you have outfalls into the river. Now you have, you know, the river's up so high and it's damaging these outfalls, and they need to track all those to make sure that there's not an issue with backflow and what's running into them. We're just in a small area of that,
okay,
and we only have 7 of these outfalls, and none of them are in a wet area. But, you know, it wasn't that in the mid-80s, there was water running through that one on 77 was half full. So we just need to track, but it's just something that we're in our local agreement.
Okay, now that I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lou. So I guess what we're asking is to approve the Interlocal Cooperation Act agreement with Dakota City, with the Stormwater Area Management Association.
So we share one third of the costs?
No, it's not one third of the cost because we're such a small minority part of this. So what we're going to do is the only time we will pay is if there is water running, we will pay to have that sample tested. And the city of South Sioux is going to put the filings together, the yearly deal, and there is a cost for that. But rather than get our own M4 license, which would be very cost prohibitive, to just having South Sioux do that under their license is a lot cheaper for us to do.
So our annual cost is basically very minimal.
Very minimal.
Very minimal.
Okay. Well, I'll make the motion to approve the Interlocal Cooperation Act agreement.
Second.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, let's go to C and talk about that street sweeper. So the group did buy a street sweeper. As time went by, they traded the street sweeper in. The three entities still have the right to use the street sweeper. If we use it, we do need, it's $200 an hour to use it, and we have to have somebody kind of go up and train on it a little bit. I know the city's had their guys use it, and so they've ran it before. So so that's just another part of this same group.
What streets do we have?
We don't really, we've never used it. I think the city of Hubbard, I believe, used it one time.
Hubbard use it?
For, I think right around their annual event, they had
I thought they used it once or twice, too.
Yeah.
So we pay for the smaller communities? Is that the
deal? Well, actually, if they want to use it, then I would imagine the community would be responsible for the cost. Okay. It just gives, this agreement just gives us access,
to
it.
I know Homer paid for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody involved in this Weaver pays in $200 an hour.
Well, the city who actually owns the vast majority of it, I'm sure, is not paying because they're the owners. But if the city, Dakota City, uses it, they'll pay $200 an hour, and if we use it, we'll pay $200 an hour and clean it up.
Well, the city of South Sioux bought it. It wasn't grant money.
Well, it was grant money, but that grant money was about 15 years ago, and that sweeper was traded in, and that thing has been, you know, has been watered down so many times that actually the equity that we would have in that would be very, very small, because they had like a very cheap street sweeper, and now they have one that's costs about 10 times what the original one cost. So by the time you put pencil to paper, that there's not a lot of equity of the county side of that.
Well, this is probably an Elgin, man. The old was a Pelican.
The first one, yeah. Yeah, so Les has been in on all the meetings with us on this. So
so our road department has nothing to do with this?
No, no. I can't imagine the county, the situation where the county would use it. Okay. I mean, emergency situation somewhere possibly, but Larry's the only one certified to run it, so.
There you go. I'd like to make the motion to approve, for the board to approve the interlocal agreement for the street sweeper between Dakota County and Dakota City and South Sioux City.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Deanna?
Yes.
Commissioner committee reports? Anybody have any in the last couple weeks?
I don't have any.
No, I haven't.
I've been too lazy.
I'm going to party this Wednesday to Friday, so if there's any particular questions you want me to ask of
where you going?
Those meetings? To the party?
Oh.
I'm at my own expense. I'm not talking to the county. It's kind of a, what is it? First one day's on valuations, assessor type stuff. Yeah.
First time you go.
And the other 2 days are very generic, but there are some topics related to flooding. So if you have anything particularly you want me to ask about that, I would be happy to do so.
Thank you for doing that. I'm sure you'll come back with some good information.
Yeah, I hope to learn some good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff on the second day.
Have a good treat. You learn a lot.
Yep.
That's very.
And then Monday we're doing budgets. Is that right?
The 10th. Yep.
Budget.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the 10th when we're all doing it?
I don't know.
Don't start meeting without us.
Not all.
Okay. And then mail and emergency business. Just Rooster's attaboy. That was nice.
Who called in?
Well, there's like four or five of them, Larry. He's doing a great job out there. I can't remember who signed it. I think it was K.R.
Kevin Rogers.
No, I do not remember the name on it.
Oh, Miss Bowie.
They've been out there 10 years, and she said that's the best that her section has been out there, and she was very thankful.
What road did they live on?
I can't remember. I'm going to get you a copy of that, though.
And I think it was, I know who it was. It was Randy Tremaine.
Oh. Yes.
That's probably south of Homer, right?
Yep.
Now. Right. Yeah. South and...
Does Randy own the off of Ridge Road? Is that his ranch over there?
I don't remember.
Randy who?
I know Ridge
Tremaine.
So I know Tremaine's got a. Theirs might be that horse ranch to the east if you're heading down towards the river. Flybird.
Yeah.
Oh, down Flybird.
Down past.
I know there's Tremaine's down there too.
Okay.
That's by Railroad Road.
Or it could be, I was thinking it went down by Mass, but maybe not. Around that corner where that bridge is out.
Anyway. Oh, that could be too, then. Okay. That Hall Avenue. And
yeah, Hall Avenue, that, down that area. I was thinking that's where he's at.
Well, yeah, and I think the map does Hall Avenue.
All right. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn.
All right.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That was a busy agenda today. I thought it was a short one. You know,
we haven't had a short one yet.
I know. Kevin was very happy we don't have a board of conversation.
So starting like next meeting, we're going to have Fred start with the road first?
No, let's just the road guys can meet with Fred a little bit, like 15 minutes beforehand. So if there's particular particular questions or concerns, don't still come in and give his road report, but we'll just be able to shorten his time up by being able to take care of his road report.
I'm still concerned, though, about the bridges. I mean, if we know what we're going to do, we should be getting them out for bids now because it ain't like everybody's waiting for a job.
Yeah, we should, since we're
on the list.
Going to borrow that money. Tony, stop.
It's a reasonable
You got something to talk about before you get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. You
get in there, Tony. Can I borrow your hat?
I won't fit you. You got the bigger hat. I won't fit you.
Thank you, Tony.
See you, Kevin.
All right, we'll see you, Tony.
Have a good three.
It was one of those days that they flew it happened.
Seems to be flying half way too often.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yep, that's a fact.
I thank you for your
time. Yep, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And have a great night.
Appreciate it.
Now I got to go visit with the city.
All right, have fun. Thanks.
After I get a hold of...
Okay, no other public comment. We are adjourned, and next time we're going to meet is whatever date. Is
18.
June 18th of 2018. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know. I wouldn't buy.
If you do a decrease, say a 5% for everybody, you really don't solve the problem, because actually, DEP has one code nailed to the penny, almost. When I did my income approach, I found no variation. Actually, I think he was undervaluing high-quality dry land.
A is irrigated, right?
A is irrigated, yeah. High-quality irrigated.
Yeah. So
what we're looking at is the equalization that Leon's hitting is, it's in each LVG group, like that LVG code up there, like 1A1, 2A1, 3A1. Well, that'll go all the way from 1, 2, 3, 4. Each of them has, it's four different groups, 8 classification in each group. So where the equalization problem is, and I think where the concern that Leon is, when you look at, so 1A1 would be the highest priced irrigated ground. It's supposed to be the best producing. So it should be the highest. And then if you get all the way down to a 4A, would be the lowest producing irrigated ground. And those 8 individual 1A1, 1As, 2A1s going down each has its own value because it's its own LVG or land valuation group. And there's a separate, so if you look, it's like, the separation between them it's pretty consistent all the way through. And there's a production issue with some of this lower quality bottom ground.
Is
that accurate to you? 81?
Well, that was with a bad sale. That was with we had a gable sale in there that actually ended up being a land. I had to call Jim to figure it out, but the deed was wrong. But it was between, I think, him and might have been Baker. I don't remember.
Kitty Baker.
But market area 2, I think, looks like that. Market area 1 with that sale out is, I don't remember, guys.
The state only uses 10 sales to measure.
Is that what they do?
They're not 10 sales in any market area.
No, yeah.
We have to use the whole county.
I want to talk about that. Sometimes you got to apply it. I think he's right. I can't argue with his actual report. What did I do with that? But I think, like, market area 1 maybe had 8 sales. Market area 2 had 2 sales, or 9 sales. In total, they had 17. So individually, they're not correct. But when you combine them, they're all correct. Mm-hmm. Make up your mind. Are they right or are they wrong? You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. Let's hear from
Bill. You're short of 2 sales, of 1 and 1 sale on the other.
Let's hear from Bill here real quick.
Yeah. Leon's done a lot of work on this, and I've looked at some of the spreadsheets, met with him and Jeff this morning a little bit. And when you look at, he's talking about this Jackson farm. Your uncle farmed it for a lot of years.
Decades.
The soil maps that we're looking at, classing soils, were made, the original ones back in the 50s. Redone in the 70s. Okay, that was all cottonwood trees in the 50s. So a lot of time wasn't taken on soil maps in those particular farms. And they're out of date. You can't use those today.
Your LVG codes are relying on maps that are old. The last one was done in 76. That's 30 years ago.
And we don't have enough land sales in our county to do a land sale evaluation, I don't think. I like this income approach. I think it's very fair. And like I say, he spent a lot of time and effort on this thing, and I appreciate that. And he knows that if we have to equalize it, if we lower these parcels, then we have to equalize the whole county. And I think if we do turn that over to Turk, we need to look at Area 1 and Area 2, because Area 2 will probably come up. And the problem with turning this over to Turk at the state, it might all go up. You don't know. There's no...
I don't like
turning
that.
Everything over to the state, because I don't trust them.
I can show you a study done by the University of Nebraska that shows what happened to farmland values in the last 2 years. If they raised it, they were just being honorary. Let's put it that way.
I think you have very accurate numbers.
Yeah, I think we're close. I mean, the income approach is what we're looking at going to. We should have. They didn't pass the legislation this year, but I'm looking at doing it next year, starting it. Just because I have like less than 1% of our land sales.
So
I don't have enough sales to tell you that 4A is only worth 4,000 versus 8,
sure.
Or is it worth 6? And it's, but if I go by and use the income approach like Leon, it will go down to that number, and then they will be paying less than, which isn't their problem. That's not what they need to be. They need to be concerned about their own farm.
Sure.
But for us as a board and me as the assessor, I have to worry about everybody. So that's why I was hesitant on doing it this year.
Did you use cash rents from 3 years ago?
I don't care what cash rent was 3 years ago.
See, we have to do that 3 years ago.
You might have to do it in your test.
Yeah.
But that three-year deal gets that three-year deal is used to see if you're in compliance.
I think if
the
we
market
did this
value
last year,
is
we would
as
have
of
dropped
January 1 of 2017. I don't
That's
have to
do.
Worry
you
about what rent
year.
Was 3 years ago.
We just
it's rent
last year, we
as of January 1, 2017. Yeah. They use a three-year study just to see if the county is within the range. That doesn't mean... It's market value at January 1, 2017, not January, the average of the last 3 years. They use that average just to test your assessment numbers to see if you're within the range. Okay. I don't think that applies to me.
If we don't use that three-year average,
we have to.
But if we don't, what's the fallout from that? If we just turn a blind eye and just use 2017?
Well, the Turk would call us in.
The Turk would call us in.
It's on equalization. They'd say, well...
So we have to do it by the 3 years.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and I know, and they really set that up.
Aren't we supposed to be buying this at January 1, 2017?
Based on 3 years. It's a word game at this point.
Yeah.
We have to do it this way. We have to. I mean, you don't have to drive 60 miles an hour. You can drive 100. But you're in violation. So we have to follow
I look at the statute, and there is nothing that says in determining market value you have to use a three-year average. There is nothing. You're supposed to, if I do an appraisal, I guarantee you, if an appraiser comes in and values that land, he might look at something to get enough comparable sales, something that happened 3 years ago, but he's going to modify that number for the change in value since that time. He's not going to just use it. If I had an appraiser come in and appraise this land, he might look back 3 years just so he can get enough comparable sales, but he's going to take that sale 3 years ago and change it to adjust it.
See, we can't do that.
The
state says we cannot time it.
Yeah, the fee appraiser can do that 1 year. They get to be more accurate that way.
To me, when land values started going up 5-6 years ago, there was a lag going up.
Mm-hmm.
And our values in the county. There's
going
to be a lag going back down. But, and I agree, from our top to where we're at today, whether that be 3 or 4 years, we're down 30%, I feel. Should have gone down some this year? Probably. There should have maybe been some drop.
Yeah.
I feel, there should be some relief. It was only 5%, but at least we're going the right way. I think, honestly,
we're just kind of stuck right now. Stuck at the top. We're just stuck. And we haven't been 3 years in a row now. We've had virtually no change.
Yeah. But it's kind of. I would argue that the assessor each year is supposed to look at those studies and determine.
He does. I'm sure he does.
And well, I don't know how you don't make a decrease then.
Yeah.
I do if I use three. I'm using three. I look at a. Actually, if you look at using my sales approach, if I just used last year, for example, 16 sales without the previous 2 years, we'd have dropped somewhere between 6% and 7%. This year, we'd have dropped another 3 or 4.
That's what Bill's talking about. Yeah.
If
you just use those,
if I just used
proves is that your approach. Is not active. And I understand you're always...
Okay, hold on.
That's a state.
I know.
That's a state.
I know he's stuck with it, but I don't think I have to follow an improvement market.
No, Leon, I think you missed your calling. You should have been an attorney.
Yeah. He needs to be. I want to keep him in the office all the time.
I
would make one quick comment if I could, and I probably... You're probably about tired of hearing from me. But you're always going to have a delay. Even on the income approach, you're going to have a delay of at least 1 year. But the income approach allows you to react more quickly. You can see what happened. And whereas this other approach, you can't react. You're not reacting fast enough to the change in value.
Yeah.
With the income approach, you can react quickly when corn goes from $6 to $3.50.
Yep, right.
So I think Jeff and I are in agreement on that. I just want in to let me use it. Nobody else filed a prejudice. I can't help it.
Nope.
I tried to get a few more people in here. Partly the reason they don't is because they just get rejected all the time. They're tired of fighting the battle.
Welcome to our world.
Every once in a while, I get, and his value got so out of line, I got frustrated, and that's why I was willing to fight the battle.
Well, I understand. We're in a unique area here where we've got Iowa, South Dakota, their taxes are a third.
Use the income approach and back into the LVGs.
And we hear that every day.
And you can take his LVG values now and plug him into all of our sales and see how that comes out.
If we want to take the burden off us, we'll turn it all over.
But you just use one
state. Area one area.
You can do that.
But I'll do it my sales approach.
Yeah, you were talking about Iowa, and I'll just tell you what one farm manager says to me, and I won't name names, but he says, if somebody comes here and says, I want to buy a farm in that area.
Who was that, Liam?
Pardon?
Who was that?
He won't.
I don't want
to. Oh, you said that. I thought you said that.
He's a farm manager, okay. He says, if somebody comes to me and says, I want to buy some land in your area, I point them to anything in Iowa or South Dakota.
Well, I understand.
Let them come to Nebraska. Because of your property taxation.
We've got ours is a lifetime mortgage.
Yeah.
Our taxes.
Yep. We're missing the boat in a lot of ways.
But I guess it probably comes down to the issue. I wish you would do what I think is the right thing. I think I proved to Jeff values. I know his problem with equalization. But I hope we can fight it by going to Turk with what I work there and get the whole county to comply. I got a feeling that you're saying, no, you do that. But I'm not sure that's... I will say this. I think that's a little bit of the chicken approach.
On Jeff's standpoint or our standpoint?
Chicken or the egg? I'm the egg. I don't want to be
listen, I'm kind of doing a love-hate thing here between you and Jeff. One minute you're like, Jeff and I talk, we're with the buddies. Next minute you're throwing him under the bus at a slow speed, obviously. No, a little bit.
I can't walk out in the parking lot when he's driving around.
Jeff has been great to work with. And look at my numbers and willing to spend some time on it. I had no problem with Jeff. I know his problem is people above him he has to deal with. Probably his turf. I hope I'm not offending Don. I think, I don't know what else to tell you.
Thank you.
So, and basically, even Dan Kreener's, he didn't have the detail. I just kind of plugged in the numbers I had on the Olsons to his. So, and Dan's not here. And I didn't even bring his partial numbers, quite honestly. The theory probably is, I don't know if you have to do them partial all the time, you can, but the reality is your decision is going to be made in all those parcels one way or the other. I'm assuming. You want to do it one at a time, you can.
And Scott Bear, his stuff's in Market Area 1, isn't it, Scott's?
Yeah.
So he'd be similar.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next, Sheriff? Thank you, Leon.
Thanks, Leon.
Thank you.
I'd like the terminology about
Yeah, we'll decide.
Oh, okay. I'll stick that. Around then. Okay. You want to read those off?
Well, I think. What? Jeff, what is your, on those, the ones that Leon just discussed that we had read off, the previous totals and the current totals in the referee are still the same on all of those.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is it's based off that 3-year and the fair market value.
And equalization. And it was 3 years of sales. And so, like, where we're at is there's a potential. It's tough. I mean, I guess we got to, you know, like when we call John, you know, it's one of those things with the market and the equalization. It's the only thing I'm hung up on. And even though he's doing it this way, I believe from a quantity issue, and I'll go on the record and say it, based on the quantity of sales I have, I would trust doing an income approach before I would trust using 6 sales, so I have 300 acres out of 500,000 that sold, right? So it's not even 1%, and I'm going to tell people what it's worth. And I might not even have a sale of this. Well, we got 2 problems with the low-quality stuff. One, we got a soil type out there that's not classed.
I don't know
right?
How long you've had a sale that would equate to the land that's in Jackson.
So
you're not.
Yeah, all of that said, I just backed into the irrigated stuff and looked at it. Using the sales approach with what we had, my median market, estimated market value, so like if somebody was at an auction, they're going to buy it, for irrigated land is $8,106. Based on how I have it assessed today, that's what I'm going to say would be a realistic number to purchase at. Now, is it higher? Until it happens, I don't know. So and Leon's, I think, with the adjustment on the low.
Damn near exactly what I got.
Yeah. He's kind of in the ballpark on it. So the only place Leon and I get into equalization trouble is that low-end stuff. Because we can back our numbers in together and be pretty close until we get to those 3D and 4D items. For like dry and 3A and 4A on irrigated, and he's just lower than I am, but it's that the income approach allows you to see things differently.
Would you be willing to recommend to us as a board to allow the Turk to determine values on Area 1 and Area 2 this year?
Are you comfortable
with that?
So if we try to do like an over or under value to Turk?
On the whole thing. All farmland.
I need to go pull the state sales file, sales report, because it'll be based on that. Okay. I mean, whether or not we'll have any success at all, I need to look at that. If that is still out of line, we have a chance we could maybe do it. But if it looks okay and their numbers are okay, the thing I look at with that is we have to show them, because the Turk's already seen our level of value or that sales ratio, because that report's an opinion, and Leon's read that, I believe, goes to them before it ever comes to us. They actually go through that and review it, and they've set our level of value for our ag ground. So the Turk's kind of seen it and saw some of the stuff Leon has seen.
And they're out of it.
And they said it was 73.
And total 73, almost 73.5.
So they've kind of ruled on it already. So now we have to be able to have enough of the evidence to say, no, you were wrong. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. In theory,
that's where it gets tough going there.
In theory, if they looked at this, and probably they would lower Area 1 and raise Area 2. It would still be the same.
total dollars, it should be the same.
Because they could do it, because they could say it's a different LVG code, so it's a different
right.
subclass, so they could have the ability to say, yeah, maybe four, you know, take from, I'm sorry, what is it, 3D1, 3D, 4D1, 4D, and say, drop it 5%. I mean, they can pretty, they do what they want.
I don't think they can do that.
Well, they can't do it.
They have the authority to do that.
They wouldn't.
It'd be the whole batch of property.
You mean all ag or just dry?
All
dry.
All dry.
Also.
Mm-hmm. So we're
your hands are tight on that.
So they'd have to do the whole dry.
Exactly.
And what we need is an adjustment. The biggest adjustment we would could potentially need based on an income approach is on that low stuff.
Do you have the information LBGs that he came up with on all the different LBGs?
Yeah, it's in here. Yeah, I got.
Can you plug those back? Once you plug those back into all of our sales and see what would come up.
Yeah, we can do that.
That'd be a way to start. See if those are right. They'll give you the 3-year window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have there's six right now and one and eight and think of two.
And plug
well,
in
I'm not worried about two.
Just use those six, plug his guys in and see what you come up with.
Yeah, the only thing I have is I only deal with cropland. I don't deal with grass. Or
sure.
I did a site competition, but I
that's haven't fine. I mean,
well,
we
I didn't have to report it.
I mean,
it's only
a too dry.
Yeah. So
I just think the farmer needs some relief. The sooner the better, honestly.
Just, well, we've been late. Stuck for 3 years.
I know.
And we need rain more than
probably,
yeah. Yeah, we need rain, too.
We're going to raise up market area, too. Probably 7-8%.
I know it.
You know what it is?
It's going to be a trade-off.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, we won't be no sweet corn, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That is an important issue.
That's why Gary's not working on a pivot.
Yeah.
What is your recommendation?
Let's get to the nuts and bolts here.
You guys got
a different. Yeah, so my opinion.
The referee recommendation is on the pivot.
It's on the
pivot. Oh, is it? Oh, the referees?
So basically, they all stay the same.
Can I be the chicken in this and pass the buck? Give it to somebody? What did the referee say?
The same.
The current total, the referee, the previous
equalized
is all the same.
I'm to the. I wouldn't mind it going to turf one way or another, but we can go either way, you know. And actually, if I'm going to turf on this and I want to sit down and talk, I'd rather go in a single commissioner hearing where it's just informal and we don't have the rules of evidence and you have to have the attorney with you. And it could just be Leon and I and one of the commissioners to talk through it.
And at that point, Turk doesn't worry about equalization. They can lower theirs without lowering the whole county.
Yeah, they pretty, yeah.
You mean if the Olsons went themselves?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would just be for you because we, you know, it's like you guys. You really shouldn't care about us as a, well, that should not.
I'm
you don't care about it's your case.
The opinion is we file a protest, let you reject it, and then we go to Turk.
Well,
might be okay.
Our job is to keep everything as equal as we can.
Yeah.
This year.
We get a single, I would feel better about it too. And I'm sure we can request it, so.
Okay.
I think that's what I would
think. What's your final thoughts? You want to say
frustrated.
Something?
Frustrated.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we are too.
I think everyone's frustrated.
This is probably nothing. You guys are going to be able to do this. I get a feeling that Turk has so much authority that you're just not going to buck it. I think you should. I maybe agree with Jeff, other than a little bit of the frustration of not having an answer after all this work and have to do some more work. Maybe the best approach is to deal with an individual commissioner.
Yeah, and then all we have to do with the evidence you got is prove my numbers are arbitrary because there wasn't enough acres of that to sell to make that determination. You know, we'll sit and visit before that ever happens.
Okay.
But,
well, I like my deal on Jackson because even though it's only one sale, I have my income approach, my sales approach, and they weren't done at the same time either.
I don't think
coming so close together.
Commissioner hearing with this many persons.
You don't think they
know? Probably the next approach, if we could go to Turk, is to see if we can get an appraisal on that.
I think you've got some good numbers. You're pretty convincing. I think you have a good chance at Turk on your own, honestly. I mean, I wish you luck. I hope you can get something done. Yeah. I hope you understand our position here. It's,
well,
we're not taking the easy way out. I just...
And you understand that. You're a smart enough guy. You know if we come in here and do what your mathematics and, you know, what you're after, just like we've all said, and I hate to keep beating the drum, but equalize. And the next thing you know, we're going to be, you know, where it probably needs to be. And we understand that. And I'm not going to repeat everything we talked about, the income approach and the 3 years and this. I mean, we know what's right and what's wrong. All of us do. And unfortunately, you know, I think just like, you know, Jeff said, we're going to have to go with the referee's recommendation for the time being. And then it's your decision if you want to take it to a state level, as much as I hate to say that.
Well, and maybe it's not appropriate for me to even ask that. I also think, if you really, Jeff, I mean, would you support us on these numbers at the Turk?
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, just because we go to Turk doesn't mean we're opposite sides. Yeah. Like on a case like this. This is a case where the equalization has to be proven, and they're going to have to say whether my number is arbitrary or not. So it's just, I'm going to give them my stuff, you give them yours. Like I said, I don't have anything against your numbers. You know what I mean? So I've been through all of that. And then let them decide. But we wouldn't, it's not like we're going to be on opposite sides of the table.
So
and
we're
But Leon's lost his mind or anything like that, you know. It'll be, we're not going to be opposing sides, so to speak.
So it's kind of like we would have liked to have done what Leon wanted, but we couldn't. Because you guys got
to... I'll talk to... I wish Nancy would stay before she would resign this year, but one of our commissioners were losing...
Because this... I got to look. We got to file this by, like, August something.
25th?
Well, the... 25th of August. You, as far as when we have to appeal to Turk, that's later. That's... Yeah. We got to get an official notice of rejection.
Right, yeah. You'll get that within a week or so, and then... And you got so many weeks to get to Turk.
August 25th.
The 25th? August 25th?
Yeah.
30 days after September.
July 25th to August 25th.
Then they have to accept them by the 25th of September.
Okay. Yeah. Just like Jeff said, I mean, it's not going to be a support or an opposition. It's going to be, these are our numbers.
Feel it.
But we can't make the decision. You have to, the state level. It's
kind of worth kind of like you look at this and do we have, is this arbitrary or this is how I did it?
Yeah,
this is what I got. And then here's what he did. Jones. This is how he got it.
Do you have
and
a problem?
Then, what, I mean, which one of us is arbitrary? They're going to go back to overall level of value and stuff like that, but we could take them all
back. I got to run a couple of errors and then I can come back.
Okay. I mean, that's basically what we have to do.
Okay,
all right.
So, you
want to move on to the next parcel?
So it's,
or
yeah, we'll just
one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. What's next?
Just go with the,
okay, so right now, for those previous parcel numbers, it's our opinion to leave it at the referee recommendation.
Right.
Okay, I need to read those.
Oh, for you,
Leon.
And
okay.
Then.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Leon.
I need that book back. Go ahead and read those off.
Oh, he wants to read the other ones off, too.
Well, I think you guys better go.
We've got parcel 220060827, 220196109.
Okay. Where are you going?
Where are you?
Next page.
320.
Next page. 321.
Olson Trustee.
Yeah, Olson Trustee.
Ag Trust.
Yeah.
And this then is under there's one overfill. Are you, did you do that one?
The what now?
Okay, just Olson.
Yeah. It's under Jacqueline T. Olson.
Yeah,
Trusting.
I got it.
Okay. Next number 220058733, 220057958, 220058032, 220058652, 220058377, 220058105, 220058288, 220060746, 220060479, 220060568, and 220060991 under Jacqueline T. Olson Trustee And just kind of to expedite this, you were using
just
the same
back
formula.
On my other arguments.
this was the same formula.
Yeah.
And Jeff, your
same issues.
The previous totals, the current totals, and the referee totals are all the same on these.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're at the same spot.
Right.
Yeah, it's the exact same math. It's market area.
So okay. So with all those discussions, we're still under the same opinion to go with the referee recommendation.
Right.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you get to Dan Kreiner, I don't have his partial numbers, but same issue, same.
How many parts did he?
Three parts. Just three parts.
Three.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't
all right. Remember
that
one. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
See you, fellas.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Kevin. Lazy Enterprise.
Let's recess.
Lazy Enterprise. Those three.
So then we can. I got to. Unless you guys want to keep going, but I think we should recess for an hour.
Recess for an hour.
I don't care. Half hour. It's gonna take me a little bit of time to run.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an hour. Well, ain't going away.
Yeah. What time works for going?
12:30. Is everybody okay with that?
12:30.
12:30. Be here.
Very good.
Recess and recess.
Okay, we will recess and reconvene at 12:30. It is the 11:28.
We should be done by midnight, you think?
What? Sometime. Ballpark, isn't it?
Hey, don't.
I'm going to be midnight. You guys are going to have to go early.
I got the Swiss Tahiti team coming in.
That's going to be amazing.
17. And
are you kidding me? What's going
on? Oh, are we on the next one? Or are we on the salvage one?
No stipulation that he has to tear it down within 30 days of getting this light.
Yeah,
technically, he's not going to tear it down.
No,
I don't see anything.
There's somebody here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how we doing?
This is Tracy Pettit-Sininger, and I think she's on the list for today.
We just did it.
You just did it.
Yeah.
But somebody was going to call to let come out and look at the basement so they could see the cracks and all the problems I have with it, and nobody called me back, so I thought I better get here before the end of July. Thank you.
We took the basement out, and condition changed as well.
Which one is this? What's the last one?
1001 West 3rd Street.
Well, it's a protest one.
This is one I had been for the month.
Second page.
I
don't know if that was
good. I wanted to come last year, and then my mom passed away, so I wasn't able to get you guys in it last year. So I said, come look at it this year. I have no problem with you coming in and looking at it.
It dropped down this year.
Yeah. No, it went up again. It went up twice. Everybody else is
What were you asking?
I'm 136,000. I don't know what houses run in there, but I mean, I have a rental house there that's 90,000. I paid less than that. I'm okay with paying 90,000 on my rental house over there, but I'm not okay with paying 155,000 for a basement that I'm gonna, before I can even sell this place, I'm gonna have to sink a bunch of money in to redo the basement. Slab down there and all these things, and I'm working on it slowly to get it back up to par.
Oh, 171. I'm looking for the last three digits.
I did not have flood insurance. The other two houses next to me had flood insurance, so they were able to refab their houses and do everything. I didn't have that. I was 2 days short of it, so.
So
I just don't think, I know I can't get a loan. A bank's not going to loan it on the way that the house is now until I fix it up if I were to sell it.
So your previous is 169?
I was previously 120. Originally I was 134. They dropped it to the 120 for a couple years because we had to put on the grass, we had to bring dirt up. You know, we had lots of stuff happening to it. So the 150 went up last year from the 120, but that's because my mom passed away. I wanted you guys to come out then, but then during that month of July it was crazy, so I thought, well, I'll just get you guys this year to come out and take a look at it. I don't know if you want me to try to get somebody to appraise it.
That's probably your best leverage, you know,
without a doubt, right? Correct, Jeff?
Yep.
It's just that, you know, we don't have a lot of money down there after the flood hit. I had a house that was paid off, had to borrow money to do fix all the things that we had. I mean, we took everything out of the house.
Right.
We
so what are you requesting it to be at?
167. They took pictures of the outside, but it's the inside that I'm having.
Is he saying it was one? What were you saying it was last year?
The year before was 120. It went up to 159. Oh, I don't know. You're talking land and stuff. You're just talking.
It was 159.
Is that what it was?
It was this previous improvements with the land. And then previous total was 160 with the land in the house was 169,280, and then we sent you a letter out that said 177,205, and we just adjusted it to 167,300.
Would I be able to have a little bit of time to get an appraiser out there? Because I know it's not going to even go to. When I went to get a loan to redo my house, I couldn't even get a bank to do a loan on the place because they said I can't have my basement being the way it is with cords hanging, electrical cords and all this stuff. They weren't even going to loan. I finally found a bank that would loan me the money to be able to do improvements on my house. So if I could get time, I will get an appraiser out there. I didn't want to have to pay the money because I don't have a lot of money. I mean, we sunk a lot. Over that we lost trees, expensive trees. I mean, so much stuff we lost because of the flood. And then we're also in a flood zone, so that's going to detour some people wanting to purchase that property if they ever think that it's going to come through again.
Yeah. I'd be there.
So, I mean, the water stayed over. These plug outlets are a little bit higher than mine are in my basement at home, a little lower, but it stayed there for 4 months. You know, it stayed there. We had to take all the sheetrock out. It molded everything. We had to unmold everything.
Oh, it's in 100.
So, I mean, it was. We had to repaint everything upstairs because humidity and mold in there. So we had to redo everything. We have some problems. I showed you. Or the slab in the front dropped down a little bit. You know, there's that crack right there that we got. I don't know what we do, but.
Unfortunately, today is our last day for these hearings. So, unless Jeff's.
I took the basement finished completely off.
But it's not even just finished off. It has the whole slab floor has.
Well, it's just a lot of accounting for the basement.
Yeah.
Oh,
and there's nothing. It's acting like it's just a. Concrete basement right now, so the computer's showing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not just like a new house with an unfinished concrete basement.
Right.
The basement has cracks all the way through it, so on the floor.
The conditions are fair, right?
Yeah, we can't. I mean, that's pretty good. Quality is, how many square feet is it? It's 1726 we have.
Is there a picture of the house?
I did not bring it was on your guys' satellite or your initial picture on the taxi. It's on there.
I can pull it up and pass it.
Oh yeah, that's true there. So here's the back.
And there's a little house on the back that was just mostly we used for storage. We were intending at one time to use it for something else, but I got to still take where water sat in there, you know, the sheetrock out of there, too. I know I don't think you're valuing that in there anyway, but.
Here's a 2016 photo.
You don't think you can get $167,000 out of that house, huh?
Well, a bank's not going to loan that much money for that house. I know that right now. I want to say I wish I would have brought it, but you guys don't take old appraisals. That was in 2012.
That's too old.
Yeah. And that was barely getting the appraisal up to 135 at that time. So I know that it's probably moved up. I'm sure the economy and stuff now has moved up a little bit, but.
And the flood's gone, and hopefully we'll never see that in our lifetime again.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think if, as of more time, this is our last day for these. I think the next step would be is to the Turk, is to get your evaluations done and then appeal to Turk.
Okay, because I was told that somebody was going to contact me this week to go through the house. And I've been calling every day, and they keep saying, well, they're not here. And then Mr. Muff passed away, and somebody's idle, and they didn't run. I didn't know how to contact you guys. So I've been waiting for the phone call. They said if I didn't get a call by Wednesday. So I thought, well, dang, I'm just going to drive down here and catch you guys because, you know, I missed it last year to defer that, and now I'm going to miss it the second year is what. So I'm just trying to figure out a way, you know.
Is there anything here? Jeff, you pull up Jeff, or is it all still?
Right. No, I'm just kind of
maybe adjustments we can make.
Looking at it for 1,700 square foot.
That just, to me, it just seems in the ballpark, but I haven't seen the house and, you know, the damage, and I know it went through the flood, and that's, you know, not a good thing, but.
So where we're at now at 91 a square foot, it's a 1992 and it's 1726. So everything's taken care of and coded, right, except the only thing we're not accounting for.
If I were to sell it.
Yeah, and it's hard to account for because everything cracks in this county, this part of the state. You pour a driveway, you pour a basement.
Water came up through the crack, so it's not just a little crack.
Yeah,
I have half of my cement here and half down here, and this was not there in my basement before the flood. I'm just telling you, I wanted to cry when I went down into an empty basement and saw the water start seeping in. And it seeped in from the bottom here. It didn't seep in from the flood. It was the groundwater, and it just kept coming. So
what's your poison then, Jeff?
I thought I saw, were there pictures of the cracks that I saw in your evidence?
Yeah.
The only thing that would adjust it now would be if there's any other than normal 1992 wear and tear separation.
This is inside.
Well, that looks
like my basement.
Big cracks.
And this is not all the cracks. I figured I'd get you guys out there to see it.
Push.
And it's still, except for my storage under there, that's how it looks. And you see that little, we tried to vacuum it, but all that chalky stuff is from all the sheetrock, all the mold that we had to take off of there, too.
Is that a 30 rating or a 40?
Well, it's a 20, which is
20?
Fair condition.
Okay.
30 quality.
Yeah, and then the 30 quality is where ranch 1,700 square foot would fall in. The condition is below an average. Already, so we took all the so the basement's just a basement now, and then the 20, what a 20 condition means is the home is at a place now it needs repairs. You know what I mean? You could live in it without doing it,
sure.
But there's one code less. You could go down to a 10, but that's when you bought a red tag, kind of. Or it's getting borderline. If you don't replace the roof, water's going to pour in. Or
that's pretty.
Your foundation's going to crack and the house is going to settle in on top. That's a 10.
Okay.
But a 20 means, you've got these problems, and we better think about
there's
getting
not
it
much
addressed.
More you can do to
so
help.
You think if
so that coding's right, but that doesn't, yeah.
So do you think that if I get an appraisal, then you have the paperwork for me to appeal your decision? Is that what you're saying? Is that that's right?
Just you're fine. Yeah, you're still fine time-wise.
To be able to appraise.
Yeah, because you're here. You get a letter.
There's nothing we can do here.
Okay.
But what you can do is you'll get a letter in the mail, and once you get that letter, it's gonna show that we set it at 167.3.
Okay.
And then you can contact Jeff's office, the assessor's office, and he'll give you the paperwork where you can do the Turk at the state level. The clerk's office. I meant.
And in the meantime, try to get that appraisal so you know.
Right,
so you know that it's worth your time to do it.
Yeah. And
and they'll know how to adjust on those cracks and stuff for us.
So that's our next step.
Would anybody here know of the appraisers in town, or how do I just look it up on the internet, or is there anybody for sure that I mean?
We can't.
that's halfway reasonable.
We really can't recommend one, can we?
Well, not to recommend. No, I don't want you to recommend. I'm just saying, where would I get a list of them? Or
I would just Google.
Google up and see.
I would just Google Sioux City area and whoever can appraise
so
Nebraska.
So all appraisers are the same. They all have to follow a guideline.
Yeah, they all, it's USPAP governed. And we don't have any in the county, but Sioux City does.
Sioux City does.
So look in Sioux City. That's the closest appraisers we have.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, he's done.
Okay, parcel 22005-5890, Dwayne and Nancy Johnson. Looks like it went up 9,000 from last year.
That's on 18th Street?
Yeah, I think so.
Dwayne Johnson, this is.
Yeah, Dwayne and Nancy.
Yeah, he got
the sale. So 177, 182, 186. I think it's definitely, that's a nice big ranch house.
It's not that much of an increase.
Okay. 22008-3398, Ag Trust and Wally D. Overbelt Family Trust.
Yeah, yeah.
And it stayed the same.
Why did he protest that, Jeff? Do you know?
No, what's he looking for? Which one?
Eggland.
What is?
22 acres.
We lowered that last year, didn't we?
I thought we took care of it.
We lowered that last year.
So CRP, anybody that was in CRP got switched to grass. Yeah. If he brought in his contract to me to prove that he had it, then we just go to
the WRP, didn't
he? He said that something was a total.
Oh, if it's WRP, it's a flat 750. CRP is.
Oh, it's going to say CRP.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, WRP.
Oh, it's wetland.
Why is he calling it wetland?
Yeah,
it's
really I write whatever they say, so that's why.
Oh,
what are CRP?
Because CRP is the grass.
No, this would be, how much an acre is it?
WRP. It's going to be about 18 to about 22.
Do you know Wally?
I think he came in and talked to me.
I was out hunting his land, and he introduced himself to me. Somebody introduced me to him, and he's an old guy, you know. And he puts his hand out. He's older than you, isn't he?
No, Wally's got to be
older. Bill just looks older.
Jeez.
As he's shaking my hand, talking to me, he starts crapping his pants.
He didn't do that.
When you get my age, that's what happens.
It's just like.
I think the guy I talked to.
I was just like, are you kidding me right now?
Here.
You
booked it. I was like, wow.
Never go hunting on Taco Tuesday.
Jeff, did he bring proof last week?
Bring him a boy.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't
bring proof. Okay.
He didn't to me. I think so, it's the guy I met with his jeans.
He says he put it in the wetland, CRP, but he didn't bring any proof of it.
Yeah, all I need is because they get a contract when you do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, if he didn't bring any proof,
no.
All right, we're kind of
the burden's on him.
But I still think we did something last year.
We did. We lowered
because there was water or something. They couldn't get in there.
He hadn't put it in the WRP yet last year.
Oh, okay.
But we did lower it.
Okay, the next four are going to be a Garwood Trustees, 3 commercial, 1 residential, 22006824, 22006923, 22006853. 22000705.
We're gonna.
So we've got a $200,000 jump, a lowering of 100, a raising of 170,
up and down,
and a raising of 10.
Oh my God!
So this is stuff we're gonna have to, because the city just brought me 3 new annexations. This is the annexation, so the city can TIF the new BPI plant. And it's in city limits now. And I called and talked to Betty. I even called Lance and said, Lance, she's not going to take this very well. And he told me he would take care of it. She's not going to let this slide. Yeah. And supposedly she's supposed to get a road out of this or something. I told her I didn't want to get involved with that. But if you're inside city limits, this is what happens.
Okay.
So her land, all of her land should, because it's no longer ag land, it is.
That's everything across from Tyson.
Yeah. So it's.
And it's segmented into all those different pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. So each one they annexed had to be changed into.
I'm sure the fish things won, and I'm sure the
tomato things won.
The tomato things won.
It's pretty cut.
Solar farm.
Solar farm.
So that's all in the city.
I got to go snip what they is.
That's all in South City.
I dug some of my potatoes last night.
They're 4 feet out of Dakota City.
Yeah, and it's in South Sioux City now, literally, on the line. So I don't know what we can do unless they give us some type of legislation that says you can still be called egg and be in city limits. Until they do that, I don't know what we can do.
Right.
Even though it's clearly...
Their driveway is right on the line, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that line is... The lines touch in a couple of places.
Yeah, right there, I was going to say. Yeah. Because it's... You can tell by the pavement.
Yeah, they're just there now. They annexed all the way to it. Now we're getting all the way to the river. There's three more coming, so this will be next year, too. A lot more parcels.
Three more what coming? Three more annexations?
Annexations, big chunks, about 300, 400 acres, I think.
So they're going to annex the courthouse here pretty soon?
Yeah, I don't know, they should.
They're going to get to Dakota City Cemetery pretty soon.
Yeah.
What's that last name?
Okay.
Jesus.
So I don't know, what you guys put on there for recommendations?
No change.
Yeah. That's all we can do. I mean,
there's one that looks like it lowered 100,000.
Yeah.
Some got lowered? One of them got split because it's on the annexation line.
You told me that.
Oh, that.
204
to 85.
The residential one lowered from 183 current to 204 referee of 85.
So that one's lower pretty much.
That's residential, too.
85 to 90.
85.
Oh, that's sorry. That was the same thing I did on the other one.
Those numbers are switched. It should be 204.
Yeah, I didn't add the improvements on there. So it is. I'll make it.
Okay, this is your last day.
Don't worry about it.
You just spent 16 days overseas. Leave it alone. I think you got a little too close to Copenhagen.
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, I think.
I think I did these three land ones first, so I was just, it's just land.
Oh my gosh. Hey, would you dock yourself a half hour for my bill?
204-115.
The residential?
So they'll be even less happy.
Yeah. So I didn't want
to. It didn't go down then.
204-115. No, they were fine with the value of the house. They were just questioning the land, so that's probably why I only paid attention to the land.
Yeah, because that.
All right.
Okay. Next is 22015-4678. Ty and Carrie.
Van Schoik?
Van Schoik.
Van Schoik.
No change.
She married that guy for that last name. She should have kept her last name.
That's what I told him. I warned him. Yep. Hey, you know what? He thought, Jeff, when he left your meeting, he thought it went down 30,000.
Which?
From your... I don't know who he met with.
Well, I heard this one.
Because this one...
I never gave him
is it this one?
He told me when he left, it went down 30 from where you had it.
He also told you the trucking firm ain't making no money.
I don't have any values out of it.
Hold on.
336.
Because I have to do the research on it before I come up with any values. So.
Well, he was under the impression that assumption that it went down.
Fine. 336. That was the parcel number.
Parcel number is 22015-4678. And went from 277 to 336.
Is that the new construction? Like 2 years
it's a new house out there.
Yeah, it's probably 5 years.
5 years, is it?
Yeah.
Is there a picture of it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm looking at it. Oh, yeah.
Worse. I don't have anything in the file.
Is this one? Well, because you can't find the bad pictures. Place?
Yeah.
The house has 3 quarters.
Okay, that's pretty
nice. It caught the flood.
I wish.
Yeah, it's got cracks in the basement.
It does?
No, I don't know.
If it floods up there, we're all gone.
Yeah.
Noah. It's on the mountain out there. Right? Yeah. Oh, so what is it?
On the mountain.
So would we?
It's on the mountain hill, not at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, so it's got recreation value added.
Hey, the view is amazing.
That road in the wintertime.
That's the recreation part.
Yeah.
So what's it? It should be like a 40 quality, probably. What's it? 2,000 square feet, 30 condition.
How many square feet is it?
2037.
1,000 partition finish.
Don't they got finish in the basement?
Yeah,
that's what there no. This doesn't calculate obsolescence.
It got lowered last year and then left up again.
all I'm going to say.
See, it didn't calculate.
Totally crazy.
You guys.
Oh, it didn't?
I don't know why. I just forced that in.
And that was the referee's recommendation last year?
Well, I didn't want to do much, did it? Where was it?
336.
Yeah, he protested last year.
336, 685.
So with the one, so if you do the one, then it's 333, 540. And then I'm just trying to figure out what his square foot is. 153. That's a 40 quality starts in the 150s. So your square foot price is pretty good on it. It goes up from there.
Quality.
No, it should be a 40. Yeah, it should be a 40 quality, and it should be, it's 153.
It's an average quality?
No. It's a
40.
Good,
it's a 40, right?
Good quality.
Good quality.
Should be I could call Joe. We'll get average Joe in here and we get some stuff. Just let me know. The only thing I saw, the depreciation didn't calculate on it. It's so new, it's only got 1%, which just dropped it another $3,000-$4,000 is all, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, and that's what would roll if we rolled it. I mean, that should have been on there. I don't know why it didn't when you put the data in. But sometimes you got to go back through recalculating back.
Right.
It's an antiquated system.
So all right, so
recommend the 1%.
I would recommend putting the depreciation on, because otherwise, without the, so would actually, they weren't equalized without the 1%.
Sort that value then?
Right?
Well, that's so. What I looked up last. That's right. I made this note from the historic file in there. From 16 to 17, they added 1,000 square foot finished basement.
Oh.
Never mind.
So there's your, that's the end.
There we go.
From 2016 to 17,000.
$35.
Where? Oh,
if you go to
the
boy.
File, and then
well, that's a game changer there.
He can prove otherwise.
I think we're way too low now.
What'd you say, Marty?
I think we're way too low in that.
Yeah, yeah, let's move on.
Game changer.
I know nothing.
That changes everything.
Okay.
No. Well, it looks good now with the 1,000 and then the one, put the 1%, it should be, was it 333? The working, so it should be 333. Should be 333,540 now.
333,540.
That's what everything calculated.
Okay.
And that's at 153.
Okay, so we're going to make a motion on 220154678. The referee's recommendation was 336685. We're going to take it to 333540. That's my motion.
Second. Bill?
Abstain.
Oh,
Scott?
This is Bill's
talk. Yes. Tony? Oh. Yes. Kevin?
This is
Marty.
This is.
Oh, okay.
Now the ball's getting clear.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You didn't realize that?
Well, I knew she was up there. I didn't know.
On the mountain.
Yeah, okay, now I know.
It's making sense now, isn't it?
Yes, it's all coming together.
Well, it got lowered. You got to be happy.
Yeah, we gave him something. You can try the recreation.
Give the poor guy a raise. He can pay his taxes.
Yeah.
Hard to remember what. Some
all right. 220040605. Francisco Javier Barajas. From 37 to 77 is 40,000.
Man, the names are just.
He was cool. At. 2 years ago, he was at 63, 70.
So
it was one of the
100.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's at market.
All right.
He's okay.
Okay. Next two are Randy A. and Margaret R. Dirks. 220061092. 220061173. Went from 46 to 137, and from 1,000 to 4,000.
Land went up 68 grand. Where is it at?
It's on the cusp there, right where it turns from neighborhood.
Is that the middle building that got hit with the landslide?
Yes.
Is that there?
Yes.
Okay.
It's riverfront. So it's value. It's equalized with all the other riverfronts. Only problem is
at the end of that
river. Once you go up that bluff, then it's not wreck, but it's neighborhood 26.
Yeah.
And then, I did. there was, for some reason, there was two residences on there. So he's got like a man cave there. So I, he was double charged for the building, so I got, I took one of them off.
What happens when you yell at the assessor?
Yeah. But it's all equalized. It's just, unfortunately, there's that invisible line right there that,
yeah,
I mean, you can see it. It's the, where the landslide happened, so. But,
yeah, he knows all about vertical.
Okay, so. 22003881, Michael T. Tramp, 125 to 187. It's a sub by you, Mark.
No, it's a new screen, another red one. It's got all kinds of them.
Oh, does he?
What did I do on this?
Mikey.
Lowered over on maintenance, bought for
$33,000.
Oh,
yeah.
89.
Wow.
How many did he protest?
He protested a lot.
Do we need to go
home? Yeah, some of them I
thought. Oh, he's got it. Oh, these are Leroy.
This is his home that he lives in.
Might be under bad.
And let's see here.
Oh, okay. Are, is it all going to be under this bad?
3,000 square feet.
Badger and tram.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be.
Okay. 3,000 square foot. Everything looks
it's
good.
It's a small house.
Average, average. 1.5 story.
That's just a tram.
3,000 square foot house.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
That's, yeah, I remember.
But he lives there. That
he
was
there, yeah.
His
former. Oh, yeah, that's right. He lives there now.
That big thing is the addition. He's got the big garage. He's got a huge addition on the back. And I think Lee and Roy both worked in that house going way back.
Looks good to me.
They put $97,000 into it 2 years ago.
Oh.
I suppose.
He's got five kids that are all shorter than that, so.
I know it.
Okay.
He's a busy guy.
Well, we've got...
The next one is
We got five Badger Properties LLC.
Yeah, that's Michael Tramp too.
Okay, 22003914, 22003945, 22003810, 22006510, 22006680, and you said. And then there's a Michael Tramp in there, 22015677, and is Leroy and Daniel and Michael T. Tramp that? Well, that's the commercial one, and that's 22004268 3.
And then there's a couple more badges under.
Is there even further down?
Oh, below Michael, the Michael one.
Oh yeah, I read those ones off.
He's been buying up North Shore all around his house out there.
And he owns the whole block, I think, in South Sea.
South Sea, right down where that, yeah.
Okay. So, it looks like we've had raises of 18,000, 14,000, 4,000, 25, 28, stayed the same, a couple thousand.
Yeah, some of them needed condition or quality adjustments. I think there's just a land one, too.
It looks like there's nothing outrageous for a change.
Yeah, no.
So where are you?
They are rentals. So, I mean, the first one, which is Protest 303, no change. He gave me comps, but they're older. I almost think that still seems kind of low. But
I think Kenny lived in that one.
And then Protest 304, his comps didn't have a partition finish. I looked at them, and he also paid $79,000 in 2011. Now we're at $86,000.
Oh, so. Okay.
And the commercial one was, what's the address on the commercial one, John?
It's, where is that?
306.
306, is it this one?
Oh, number 306. I mean, apparently, they paid $25 and relocated it, but they did a really good job.
Well, that's where they kept the siding and everything. That's down
there. Yeah.
That's down there on the, like, west 6th, 7th, 8th, where those commercial, there's a bunch of commercial buildings down there.
It's equalized,
that's a nice
one. It's equalized with his neighbors there. He does have a neighbor. The building's similar, but I think it's residential. It's coded as a detached garage. So that might be an error.
CPA over Connor Hinges, his partner over
there.
But
CPA. The one's residential, his is actually commercial.
Yeah, so he's comparing it to residential, and the residential one might have an alley.
Megan is really
active. There's a building right next to him, and it's equalized. Yeah. And then the commercials were big jumps.
Yeah, he's
the land went up 19 alone.
Oh.
Do you remember his first wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the. And the warehouse, it has a 50% depreciation on it, so. I've got the lowest quality and
what's
the lowest,
wrong with the
lowest, we got
lowest
condition.
Nothing. But the first
okay.
Wow. So, I can't really.
Where's she now, though?
I don't know.
Where is she now?
Now.
Yeah.
For land, and it's just got.
They should drive by his house.
So, that was fine.
Yeah, I can't even move.
That increases. Okay, so we're.
Now we're on.
So we're all good on those?
Yeah, so far all those are no changes.
Got nothing in the fancy, right?
Yeah.
Sidetracked.
We're losing him.
He does have this. So he does have a good point with this sale in 2017 for $90,000, but it didn't appear to be an arm's length transaction. So I just kept it the same. The sale didn't look good. Normally I would try to go to that sale price, but it didn't. Was coded as a no, and I think it was definitely not arm's length. So I just kept them the same.
Yeah.
That's $140,000.
That's
a pretty much. I didn't read this one off because it completely different name. It's 2200-26696, Judd and Madonna Lischke, 111-139.
Oh, I think it's a pretty recent transaction, so it might have been a different name on the dump.
That's yeah, is this their old home place out there on 164th?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's the.
Doesn't look like
it. That's right by Hope Lutheran Church.
Church, yeah, it's a kind of.
It's an alternate home. Yeah. That's where Judd lived.
Yeah, I mean, he did just buy it for $90,000.
Oh, I'm not thinking of Judd Lischke. I'm thinking,
I don't know.
Judd was the old dentist.
Oh, yeah.
I could tell you what he drive.
Yeah, it was one of those private sales. We didn't have any information to know if there was damage.
Or some tramps, I suppose. Yeah. It was a good old boy thing.
Yeah,
be my guess. Yeah. Okay. All right. The next is going to be Commercial Riverfront Apartments, 2202-00599. Went from $2,500,000 to $3,980,000.
Well, we did the equity approach on it. Now it's $3,392,910.
Okay, hold on. So $3 million.
$3,392,910.
Okay.
And it's basically.
I got it.
What were they asking for the riverfront? Is that all the buildings there? That's all I imagine. That's all. What did they want? Let's change it to.
Oh, is this the?
That's the income approach.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about the double dipping the assessor tried to do. It was a bit of a mathematical opportunity.
I was trying to keep her up out of the water.
I'll throw me in. I did the math with my shoes on that one. It's okay.
All right. 2200-56382, Carolyn Fredrickson, 89-117.
89-117. That sounds like a fun one.
No change.
Okay. 2201-36904, Marlene A. Donald Clayton Murphy, 158. Is this the current was 148 and the referee was 177? So did they want it raised?
That one's a Turk case.
They wanted 84.
Yeah.
And we.
He's got a
popped him for 177 instead.
Yeah, he's got a.
You guys up? This was updated by Sam.
Yeah, this is part of one of our riverfront Turk cases. Right next door, Billy's brother bought a foreclosure for like 172.8 or something like that, which is right. With a little over an acre, and then you go right to the very next lot, which is an acre bigger, almost identical house, and he wants 158. So when we went out and remeasured everything, He actually is 177, and I think Johnston's about 173.
Oh, that's bad luck.
Yeah. He'd have been better not left. He set it up. I mean, we set the time up, went out there, picked everything up, and the bad news is we got a turk case with him here in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So he's equalized out there now, and he wasn't before.
All right. 220118396. Rosalba and Francisco Linares. 157 to 222.
That's Marv and Genevieve. So that's about
70,000.
Where are they at?
They look like two dental clinics. There's two of them. They're right next to each other.
Was they a mouth house at one time?
What's that?
Was that one of...
Oh, it was Engel.
Engel. Marv and Genevieve.
They had the kid in one and they were in the other. It's got a shared driveway.
Yeah.
Well, Marv went and then Genevieve went. The kids in Florida. They sat empty forever. Many years. And they tried to sell them off and on for, what, 5-6 years, I think. I went in them about a year ago.
Was it outdated?
Yeah, it needed a lot of help. And one of them looked like they had some water problems in the bay. So they sold for what they should have. We had to reduce the condition and everything on.
They have a pool? Is there an underground pool in there?
Yeah, one of them did, kind of a smaller, but it had an in-ground pool with a nice little bar lounge area right off of it. And yeah, they were, when they built them way long time ago, were really nice, but
yeah,
not so much as a screw.
The house was probably 25, 30 years old.
Oh, yeah, and with nothing replaced, sat vacant. So I think one of them sold in the 150s, the other one
sold.
If
you wait long enough, that shit will come back. That style.
Yeah. Oh, eventually. Because it's all the whole thing is brick straight back. It looks like a medical office, but.
Okay.
So we don't know. This is a tricky one. It's one of those unique deals because it sits right in the middle of South Fork with a bunch of high end homes, and they bought it for a steal based on the condition. So it's what we're trying to do is continue as they, because some of that stuff would be hard to live in. So we know they got to be fixing some of it as they're going.
Mm.
So we're trying to bump them a little bit as they go on the condition to catch up to them. So I'm not sure what we decided to do.
I depreciated that pool out a lot.
You know. Yeah, it's in pretty good shape.
And underground sprinklers, I think it was.
I think one of them blew up.
And, yeah, by the time I got done fixing all that, I was at 222.025.
All right. Okay, the next four, first three are commercial, one's residential, is Everett's Realty Incorporated. Is Gunsolly included in that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's seven then.
Yeah.
So 22003677, 22003650, 22003683, 22004455, 22003071, 22019661, 22054894. We got a difference. Looks like went down 2,000.
Yeah, the
up
first
three.
First three are it's retail on Dakota Avenue, and apparently we double charged him on one of them, so. We went out and looked at it actually and fixed all the square footage. Now they're all the same quality and condition and equalized.
That picture there, this is pharmacy.
Oh, there used to be a drive-through pharmacy.
Well, yeah, I remember that day way back in the day.
You gave me the whole history of it.
James, it was James Rexall.
Yeah.
How long it's been since somebody's even looked at it?
You watched me.
Back
in the day, drive-through.
I think there was a drive-thru.
Now it's just covered up.
No, because the one end was the LA Winery. Remember the other side?
They're not in the best.
That was the LA Winery.
That's right.
Don McQuillan right now, Alley Winery.
Yeah. But you can tell by that picture, that's how long it's been since somebody went out to get a new picture.
Yeah,
that's a problem with their commercial. That was the latest picture.
That's 70s.
Yeah, that's the latest picture we had on that record.
That's that is, that's
he even thinks that the
yeah, assessor's terrible. I did really bad on that one. I forgot.
We got a heart attack picture
press theater.
You got to take me to develop.
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell?
Just go on and start drawing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Press theater. Better than what we got.
He thinks that your build is wrong on them, but I wasn't able to find anything that said that. He didn't bring anything.
And if he doesn't have an abstract, it's whatever's in that. He
definitely has some long letters.
The software.
He's like reading them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jerry lights
so long. So those three are adjusted. I'm sure he'll be happy about those.
So there's another Nancy's house down there.
Now,
keep us going, Kevin.
The house. It appears equalized. It went from
138 to 179. Yeah. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, he was thinking it was more like 168, but I don't. Oh, this is
that's a brick one, right? On
did I print out a
Fairview or?
I'm on number 348. Is that what, are you looking at?
This is 347. Which one? Yeah, I'm talking about 347,
okay.
Which is
his house on 21st Street.
Yeah, I don't have the record card here.
I'm guessing.
No, not that far.
Oh, there's another one. Okay, that one.
That's 45.
He's got a lot of stuff.
Can you pull this one up?
Yeah, what's your number you're looking for?
44554.
That's a virgin.
Did that just say it was on Fairview?
44555.
I need that mark. And you want to see 179, 138. Oh,
okay, this is. Yeah, this is a rental. He thought it's a cul-de-sac. He thought that they weren't equalized, but his land is a little bit bigger. That's not the one I'm talking about.
Was that one you had up in there?
Was one on Fairview or down
there?
Yeah,
right
there. It's down there. Yeah, up of.
So his land, he thinks all the lots should be the same, but his land is a little bigger, so that's why it's more. And then he also has. I guess they're all identical, but he also has a detached garage and I can't remember what else. So that accounts for the $15,000 more than his neighbor. So it's equalized. He just has more land and more things on it.
Okay.
More stuff.
More improvements.
A newer style heat pump.
Although no improvements.
That's your favorite heat pump.
Oh. Who's this? Yeah.
So now we're talking about his house.
I don't know who lives in that now. He lives on the roof. I don't know if he has a kid or if he rents that thing. That brick one up.
So I'm jumping ahead of you, but what are these all right here?
Yeah, I didn't.
You don't know.
Where did he close?
I wasn't able. This is 1900 P Street.
1900
North P.
And it's
okay.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, was that the brick house that runs?
Yeah.
The door is facing west, right? The front door faces west.
Well, actually, it does. It faces the.
Unless he has
average quality, average condition.
I think 37's in the ballpark on that place. It might drive by.
Got behind me.
It's at Market now.
It's at Market now. Because that would be probably neighborhood 110. So
where is this guy?
He probably had a market adjustment.
He said that he could get. Sell for 137.175 if it were updated.
Low income deals back off of.
Okay, 349.
That one was lowered. We're right. That one.
Yeah. Okay, good.
350 went up 40,000.
That was.
But you came down 70.
There you go.
Are they?
This was an adjustment. These two were not. Apparently, they weren't fixed last year. It's the storage building.
Okay.
The adjustment is because they were supposed to build a road past it, but I don't know what happened. Now it's just a bike path, so he can only use it. He can't rent it out or anything.
That's by the railroad tracks.
That's what the adjustment was, yeah.
Okay.
And then there was just errors on the duplex that he actually moved from the river. He bought it for $1, and then moved it.
That's by that for $1.
It was a fourplex, and they turned it into a duplex, but it's It's in good condition. And, I think Sam fixed this one too, so I just kind of went with what the working file said.
They added two car garages on either side.
Yeah.
We adjusted his land. And
it's worth $204.
Sam had to ride with him in his minivan.
Right.
That was fine.
Okay.
All right.
Next one.
I got your message, you son.
That one we're done with. We got that.
Next one's commercial. 22020110.
I love that man, but go ahead.
Commercial Penguin Investments LLC, and that went down $50,000.
Yeah, it's just average quality. It was coded as good quality, so it's where it needs to be.
What is it? Apartment complex or what?
This is a duplex, and he had plans. It was supposed to be 55 and older living. It's not in the greatest neighborhood. It's over. He gave me pictures of the
just a duplex, local. But it's
no,
a duplex.
Sorry,
we had the quality wrong on there, so I put it to average, and that's what brought it down to where it needs to be.
Who owns these here?
Cruz.
Who?
Cruz is his name? Is that
it's Priest, I guess. Or Price is how you pronounce it.
Priest. Dick Priest. Dick Priest. Yeah. Dick
Priest. No, Brent Cruz. P-R-U-P-H-S.
Everybody calls him Priest.
Priest. Okay, so he's also got 22004113.
Now these are all good.
Commercial, and that went up 30,000. 38,000.
It's because it's a 50 condition.
But that's a 50 condition?
Oh, no.
That's where Donald Trump stays when he comes to town.
I think I fell through that porch.
That's near the duplex. He took pictures of the condition of this place, but that's not his.
That's right down by the.
That's not what we're talking
about. It's before those other ones, but it sits
But 357, there's no change. He thought that maybe it was older, but he didn't.
I don't think I know him either.
I got to sign that one, too.
Is Prairie Haven
last year?
They're not in with Prairie Haven though.
Okay, what's this one here?
This is Prues or Priest again, Brent. And there's no change. He thought maybe it was older, but he didn't bring in any proof of that. He paid $200,000 in 2002, and now it's at $240,000.
2002?
Yeah, and now it's at $240,000. So
my wife today, we'll never know about tomorrow, but her and I shacked up in there for 6 months in that place. Yeah, before we got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's your assessment of the condition?
So the condition's down?
Before or after?
Yeah. After.
That was back in 95. Okay.
Oh, Lord, I know what it was.
Locker room.
Yeah. It was definitely a workbench in there back in the day. I did a lot of woodwork.
How we got in the truck, we'll never know.
Okay. 22004861 Prairie Haven Incorporated commercial from 8:15 to 8:43.
No change. This is Prairie Haven. And all goodwills, but it was a third case there again.
Yeah. So this is the one Kim and I had to go. Remember, they have been off the tax books for as far back as I could find. And we put them back on as one of our, this last year's BOE meeting. And we had a conference call Turk hearing on it. And so now they're protesting. Now I think they've accepted the fact they have to pay taxes. It's a low income unit. So if they would give us their incomes, we would actually do an income approach on it. But they haven't.
We won't show you that.
They're not going to. They're not going to share. So they're on at full cost right now, and we can't do it.
Leave that alone then.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got three for Lacey Enterprises Limited. That's Farm. 22007648822007677662.
It must be, yeah. Well,
that's
a three.
They all stayed the same.
Yeah.
And this is probably Leon's.
These are Leon's other three.
We visited this to an extent this morning.
Yeah, this
that's
is
a trainer.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, 22001651 Jacqueline J. Clausen Residential from 48 to 58.
That's not right. Did you have that one?
And then.
Oh, yeah, I just corrected the crawl space, and that's came down like 4,000.
It's like a 100 or a 120.
Yeah, tire bill?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. 22005872, Everett Realty. It's commercial from 578 to 718. Did we discuss this one already?
Nope, we did not.
I don't know.
That's a big building. That must be a big building.
This must be the furniture store.
The furniture?
Probably the furniture store.
Yeah, it's a furniture store.
It's in the city. It should be even higher.
There's been some sales of that land out over by where he's at, or Harmony Burn.
40?
Yeah, so he's just adjusted to market now.
Okay.
And but it was 40,000 an acre, though, back in there.
It was a Tate, not Taylor Bar. Who was the company that bought Wix? Is it Wix?
Yeah.
Wix bought that.
Okay, 22004808, Juan Magana Ruiz, from 68 to 80.
Magana.
Man, you were on a roll, too.
I will.
No Magana.
The little swirly thing isn't over the end.
That's right.
Okay, so that looks equalized, right?
Yeah, okay. That'll change. Yeah.
22011-8566, Dennis Moore.
We're back to Dennis.
293 to 293.
You're raising $10.
Dennis Moore.
Yeah, that's the computer.
Right
there. All
right.
You guys asked us to relook at this, and Jared pulled out some comps, and although this is apparently a bad appraisal.
Which one is it?
Dennis Moore.
He got a bad boy letter.
The appraiser got a bad boy letter, but the comps came in right around this, so we just
they did.
We ended up going with the appraisal.
What's his value?
For this year,
$293. Yeah.
For this year. Oh, for $293.
Okay.
Where's Wayne Boyd?
The appraisal won't be good.
Can I look at that house again, real quick? What street that on?
Ooh. South Fork.
It's right down by Boyd.
South Fork. And look at that house. And my house is at 280. Something.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This is at 293?
That's 350 every day of the week.
Next year.
You put a for sale sign in it, that's 350 every day of the week.
I mean, you can go.
Just because we haven't sold one,
it just doesn't make sense.
You could go against the nice appraisal.
That appraisal? Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful house.
Actually.
I mean, right, that's what I mean. That there is too low in my eyes.
Yeah, he's got
that's
too low.
That's why you had to relook at it.
Yeah.
And brought it back.
Yeah.
So that's too low.
You had brought back.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a motion right now. Okay.
Yes. Because you'll save us.
Save.
Go ahead. I'm going to make a motion on 22011-8566. It was current. Let's see here, real quick here. The previous total was 293. The new current total was 321245. And I think we need to keep it at the 321245. That's my motion.
We can adjust the sales comps on that up. I got 80,000 just in the backyard kitchen you put in last year.
Second.
Partition, square footage.
Okay.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
I support my buddy's guy.
I like it.
All right.
I like it. Because this is the one that caused all my problems last year. This appraisal. I'm just going to take the letter of the property appraisal board, threw it out, basically, and say, go get another one.
Yeah.
Tell them this is your value.
Okay, commercial 22014-1851 PK Coffin Properties.
Hey,
from 215 to 280.
We looked at this the other day, didn't we?
Is this another one we had you go look at again?
Yeah, this was boys and girls home, was it?
Yeah. So it came up at the last meeting, but it was never filled out, so I'm not sure how it even. So I never had a recommendation on it or anything. And we talked about it.
And we said it.
So this is it.
That was the comps. That was the comp.
Yep.
That he took a picture of. Yeah, it's a terrible comp.
That's a comp.
Yeah, the law office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah.
That's
his
comp.
So.
Was he the yeller?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Is the 280 the current? Are we looking at the
referee. 215 was the current.
Yeah. That's just computer fix as far as codes go. No comps or anything were involved in that.
Let's leave it at 280.
Are you comfortable with the 280 or is it?
Yeah. Yeah. We bought it for 215 and 16, and we're up to 280.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. All right.
So do we need to do a separate motion because we set it at the...
No, we're going with referee.
Did we set it at the last meeting?
You set it at a different price at the last meeting.
We didn't exclude that one.
This was one that...
Oh, was this a go back and look at?
No.
Yeah.
No.
This was
one we realized that you did not have the right attachments. We looked at the wrong thing.
Oh.
Right?
We looked at this on the big board, but we never had the actual, because I think it wasn't done.
It wasn't done.
Oh, we turned it in, not done. It's protest number 375.
You set it at 290. You set it at 293.10.
So, some of these refresh my memory because it's a lot of blur, but we talked. I remember seeing the pictures the other day. What was the conversation? How did the conversation go the other day? Why is it different than what it was the other day?
This was never.
They never looked at it.
This was not filled out. I still had to look at it and write a recommendation and do everything. So it got pulled up on the big screen. So this wasn't even. We talked about it without
it
being looked at.
Where did the 293?
Yeah, so where'd that come from then?
The 293 is what it was. And then after I looked at it and did it, I corrected the billing codes and it comes out to 280. So the working file now is 280.
293 came from our roll, the initial roll for that January 1. That was it was in one of the occupancy codes.
So how did we find out who did the motion and at the rescinded and all that other business? Are we going to do? What's our?
It was part of the.
Oh, I get it.
The whole group.
This will supersede that.
Corrected motion from 717 or something.
Okay. I will make a motion to correct this parcel number to 280-330. Correct it from the July 17th setting of 293.10 to today's setting of 280.330 for parcel 2201-418514.
Yeah.
Can you make the motion?
Yeah.
I will.
My second.
I told you he talks like a attorney, doesn't he? Well, I told you that.
Yeah. Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin? Marty?
Yep. Yes. To hold you in contempt.
Yeah.
Well, 293.10 is what Mar was, right above us.
Yeah, it was pulled from a previous.
Okay. 220007063. This is Gary and Victoria Olson. We were revisiting this one.
No change.
337. No change.
337.
Okay.
Well, I just got a news update here. You want to hear it?
Yes.
I know. OJ was granted parole.
Yeah, he's granted parole.
He was what?
Yeah.
Oh, he's OJ.
He's granted parole.
He's running free.
Yeah. Free OJ.
OJ.
Wow.
I can have that tattoo taken off now.
He'll be back in jail in 6 months. I'll make that.
Okay. Commercial 22002708 Cherry Ridge Limited, from 1,054,880 to 2,177,885, and there's no referee.
But we have a new referee recommendation. Right there it is.
Right there.
1,841,170
That's cool. That's a steal for all those buildings.
1,841
What is that?
$1 million.
That is that housing development that went in by Riverview. Riverfront, you come back this way, mm-hmm. almost right across from Scenic Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those brick buildings.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No, I think 1.8's a steal on that.
Oh, it's low income. It is.
Low income.
Yeah, it's low income, but
that's low. Very nice.
So we have to do a different. We can't use their tax credits. We can only use a percent of what they make from their income. It's we lose a fortune on those every year. That's why you're right, because that I think it was over $7 million of construction to build it.
It was an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
So we've got 1,841,170 Okay, and that's.
Is that close? I don't even remember what they wanted, but that's how, that's all that information.
I think that's close to what it set up there.
Okay.
Yeah, the state gives us the cap.
$1 million
Oh, yeah, we can't do that even.
Okay,
next one is Fern C. O'Neill Farm, 22027391. We had a previous total of zero, current of 124,150, and a referee of 85. So we've gone up. Unless it's missing data.
It was a split, farm split. It split into two or three parcels, I think. So this record card didn't have anything on it.
That's the whole
and
place.
Because of that, we weren't able to make it out to Ponca to look at it. So someone needs to review it. But basically, I thought the only fair thing to do is go to last year's value plus the land. But I'm sure when someone goes and looks at it, it'll be closer to 100,000. I just...
What is it, two or three acres?
Couldn't make it out to Ponca, yeah. How many acres is it?
Yeah, she's got a couple out there.
Yeah.
That Mark hasn't burnt off yet.
Crazy.
Oh, this is the record card. This is the old parcel number, which I found the value of that house. The new record card doesn't have anything on it. It needs to still be sketched in and...
Yeah, we're behind. We gotta get out there. That's like an old farmhouse with additions attached. We gotta get out there and look at that thing.
So I couldn't justify the value because it needs to be.
Okay. We're just gonna leave it where it's at, and we'll
from last year's value plus land.
Yeah. Okay. 22002958 Mark Albanicious Rentals LLC from 53 to 55
Yeah, that's
one. Okay.
22004587 Lydia Valdivia.
Elteva Lydia Valdivia.
There you go.
From
78 to 81
It's right in the corner of $3,000 No, C and East 29. It is worth it.
Okay.
It is worth it.
Oh, 29. Is that the big white, big white house?
No, it is right in the corner. It's got two car garage facing.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking. It has a nice porch, all the wraparound porch underneath it.
No.
Rob?
No. Well, whatever.
It is worth it.
All right. 22006704 Catherine Lighting from 23 to 35. Is this the one on Stable Drive?
Gateway.
Gateway. Okay.
Gateway. Yeah.
Mobile home.
Have you been there before?
She tried to hit me with her cane.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's been there before.
Yeah, she took a swing at me.
Don't let that influence you.
So let her.
I
put that in the comments when they go inspect.
30-35 got to be off of land. No.
Land is 19
Okay.
Yeah, that
what's your thought process?
It's a junkyard. It looks like there's land there, but it's all trash.
It's all trash.
Yeah,
I think I know what you're talking about.
What does she have over there that's worth?
Oh, yeah. 23 to 47 to 35 8
Yeah.
Put
that number.
What do you guys have for
anything that's worth 27.
Nobody's listening to you.
I know.
I mean, you're asking them questions.
I'm listening. I'm
we're listening.
Yeah, we're with you.
They're having their own party.
I mean, I'm not trying to buck the system, but I mean, I know this personally.
What are we doing with it?
You think it's too much?
For 27? You can't get much for 27 in this county.
Okay.
I'll give you the $27,000 sale. It's like 300 square feet old house here in Dakota City. It sold last year. Looks like somebody converted a garage into a house. And it's in fair condition, and they got 27.
That's fair marketing.
Is this her, like, out there with her old?
Got another one coming in.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
This is Nick Dorsey. He's number 200. Dorsey's number 200. He probably
already has. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, he would like to present it with you guys.
Okay. First page. That's the bin site. Right. That's the bin site, Howard.
Oh, okay.
200. Dorsey.
Yeah, this was the one. Didn't we have a purchase price on this one?
No. Yeah.
So let me go and find the...
So this is, it's as a commercial property. It's valued as commercial, I believe.
Yes. And I'll type it in.
That was one partially in city limits.
Yeah.
Village limits, whatever you want to call it.
So it's 22217190.
Oh.
040.
That's 970400.
Yeah. Take a look here. Yeah.
Yeah. 1929.
So it was a big jump.
In what
order?
Could be towards like the front.
Oh, okay. It was on the first page. Thicker one.
It's on the first page, so.
Yeah, it's in the first page.
Okay. Is it near freeze? Or?
Yeah, that's it.
Right before freeze, okay.
Did everybody at the table get to look through the four comparables that I.
Yeah, it's all in there. Uh huh.
And did they know that it was not zoned properly?
See, yeah.
Yeah, those four comparables that I put down.
So, Jeff, is it supposed to be zoned commercial or ag?
On the blue sheet that I submitted after I purchased.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I felt like I was very forthright on what I put down on that blue sheet after I purchased it.
So here's
this is all stuff that was included.
Can we bring it up? We can bring it up again.
Yeah.
When we can.
There it is. It's not blue on there, but it's right there.
So this parcel here in red.
What number are we at?
We're going up to
200.
Number 200 on the first page, towards the bottom.
That comparable that's on the screen there. Right there, that one.
Is it?
That is 11 times higher in land value than my property. And it has highway access, and it has not changed in value in the last 5 years. The land there, it sits on, I think, 5.4 acres, and it's $6,500. Mine sits on 3.8, and it's $50,000.
What's the class on that? So if we go up, is that a 4,000 or a 2,000? Where's it at? I just wonder is that.
Lot size? What are you looking for? You want me to go?
Oh, there you go. Keep going up. There we go. So it's commercial. So this is a comp?
Yes, it
Leo
is.
Leo Anderson, 3335. So it's in a small town. Is this like Homer?
It's right over.
It's across the highway. The about.
Oh, right around here.
Oh, I'm going the wrong way.
Right there. Highway 35 splits it. Nick's on that side. That bin site's on that side. Be on the south side of 35.
Okay. Here's his. See, yes. The green?
It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
The green is the city limits, and it grabs that building, the bins, the drive, here. So that's the annexation. That would be the difference between a 4,000 and a 2,000. But let me check out that other one.
Here.
Hmm.
So here we build out the first intended use as agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be right there. That's the one we're talking about.
Just trying to look at it. One bin and one building.
Part of the old Robert elevator, or remnants of it.
Oh, he's got the one going into Homer too.
And has that stuff been reviewed?
Hmm.
Probably not. Right?
This?
Yeah.
No. Is it commercial? It was commercial, right?
Yeah. His parcel is zoned commercial. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but.
Upon purchasing the property, the questionnaire that I filled out as agricultural, but it ended up being commercial when I received my tax statement this year.
What was it last year? Is that accurate? What was it last year?
I don't know.
Did it change or something there?
I wouldn't think so. I don't, because as far as I know, Hubbard hasn't had an annexation in a while.
No, I will be here.
And this one is in town limits.
Yeah, this looks like it's inside the green. This one right here does. The 3335 is inside the green. I want to get his parcel number so I can hurry up that one. It's really slow because I'm running off of my.
And I don't want to take up a bunch of your time. I know you got tons of other people to go through. I just felt the comparables that I sought out were pretty true to what I have, and it was kind of a wide discrepancy between the comps and what I currently have.
What if we took your purchase price and took out the personal property that came with the building? Would that be fair? I mean, we could.
I put that on there at roughly around $28,000. That was
the personal property.
Was personal property.
Can I ask what you paid?
It's documented in there. $288,000.
So that minus the personal property, wouldn't that be a fair value or not?
Well, it's currently valued at $249,000.
So you'd be right. That'd be right there then. Exactly.
Yeah. But the thing that I'm a little bit hung up on is the land, the wide variance in land valuation between the comparables. The property and stuff, I understand. The bins are 5 or 6 years old. The building's 5 or 6 years old. You know, maybe some depreciation can come out of those. However, that doesn't really concern me as much as the land being valued at $13,000 an acre, and that bin site that's up on the screen is $1,100 an acre. I feel like 11 times higher than what that is with highway access is a bit much.
What did he put down? What was you asking for? I mean, obviously, you had
191, 360. Which would still be, minus the improvements, how much an acre.
So according to this, I don't know what happened. Nick, they're both of those two comps are in neighborhood 24. So they're both on the square foot because they're 2,000s, they're commercials. Nick has roughly 167,270 square feet, putting him at about 30 cents a square foot for 50,070 for land. And then Leo's, in the working, the way we got it calculated is neighborhood 24. He has more land. He has 217,800 square foot. And his square foot is 29 cents because he hit a break. The more you get, then it goes down. And his land should be at 62,700. What is it at?
It's at $1,100 an acre. So I don't know what that would figure out. And I'm not trying to get anybody else's brought up to what my
I don't know.
You know, but I'm just here for myself. I sought those out, and that's what I found.
Look at it. I don't know.
And it's right. Not. It's right in my neighborhood.
It didn't roll or something.
I thought there was maybe an error.
Because it's right here.
So it's
it should be 62,700. His is more.
His is 10,000.
There's a good reason.
An acre
yeah, right
less.
Now, yeah, because Nick's at Nick's. If I go back to his ATR, which is where his tax statement comes from,
we need to add it to our clerical list.
Yeah, he's at 50,000, and Leo would be Leo, but Anderson's at
11. Yeah. So it's equalized.
Just he's at 6,500. Yeah, well, it isn't right now the way it looks. It's,
yeah, all the working plans are, but not
that. Yeah, for some reason that didn't go over. That it should have. So Leo should be 62,700. So and Nick should be 50,070. What it should be for the land. So we'll have to add Leo's to the clerical list on a computer. Error, it's a calculation and didn't roll, so it's a software deal.
So where's Nick at then? 50,070?
Nick would be at 50,070 on his land, and right now the improvements are
199.
I don't know what you guys have.
Yeah.
249,705, does that
that's
sound right?
Oh, yeah. So that's clerical error. So they are.
Yeah.
They are the same.
Well, I wonder how many are like. I'll have to go.
There must
we'll
be
go
more.
In there and check. Did you say you found more like that, Nick?
I'm not. I did not know.
You did.
But my thing is, I'm not here. I wasn't here to find any mistakes. I originally thought that maybe mine along the lines it got miscalculated. To go from $21,000 to $50,000,
what was it last year?
And to go, it's a now I guess okay. So we can take that one off the table as far as it not being a comp, apparently. But you know, at nothing else, I think it should be still in that $5,500 an acre rather than $13,000. I mean, we're talking about Hubbard, Nebraska.
It's a beautiful place.
The lake is luxurious.
It is.
Because it really, you know, Hubbard does have, Hubbard's at 13,000. When you get into like neighborhood 28 into South Sioux, it's 40,000 for commercial land. So, I mean, there is the further
it's
out you
still
get.
Still agriculture. Sure.
Yeah, oh, it is, and that's where we get our hands tied. We kind of get stuck on it. It's once the city annexes something, it limits what I can call it. Because if I could call it agriculture, I'd get right back down to what you're talking about.
I always thought it was.
It was. Oh, it's. Oh, that it's annexed.
No, I always
that it was ag.
That it was ag.
Oh, yeah, I would. I mean, if I looked at it, I would say it was ag.
Has it not been ag for quite a while?
Bill Logano has owned it for 100 years, and it was a pasture prior to about...
Yeah, McGowan, here's his name.
Right. About 9 years ago.
But was it ag then?
It looks like it's been... If I just let me go back into the historic. So the land change started in 2013. Not about building value. Land change. Yeah, because in 13 it was 14, in 14 it was 18, in 15 it was 21.
16 it slid a little.
Yeah, 16 like.
But is it commercial or ag at that time?
I'm going to assume it doesn't say. Let me go look at the historical file because it doesn't say.
Your neighbor always told me that.
KRS. So I started saying presume.
Yes, it had a farm file at some point that was created in 2000. Yeah.
So how would it have switched to annexed?
Well, that's the law. We don't have a choice.
So when it was annexed?
As soon as the city annexes it, it goes away. It's off the table as an option. Yeah.
If I can find documentation of it being egged last year before I bought it, would that make a difference?
Probably have to be.
I don't think so because it's kind of out of our hands in that sense that once it gets annexed into a city or a village or a township, that classification can't be used anymore. So it's more of a statute thing than it is a common sense thing or a planning thing or a
statute as
zoning thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the same thing as Phyllis Cleave.
It's exactly like Phyllis. It's just like that Cleave stuff over here. She's got the same thing going on over here.
If it was annexed after January 1st of 2017, that would make it a different story for this year.
Yeah, because I won't count it until 18.
So it'd be as if you can get documentation that it was annexed after January 1st of 2017, then we'd be able to work with it.
Yeah, and it would. Because if it wasn't done since I purchased it like the 20th of December.
I don't know.
So what you're telling me is that it's just, I'm up a creek on it.
No, you're not. I mean, here you are probably, but you can take it to the next level to Turk on the state. And
I found out that they're a year behind.
It takes about I'm going in 2 weeks for 16 stuff. So July 31st is our first hearings on our 2016 protests.
2016.
Yeah. So it's about July timeframe, it seems like, before they get to us the following year. But the taxes, those things, if the Turk rules on something, so let's say there's a piece of legislation that passed that we don't know about, and they say, you know what, if we can get somebody from planning and zoning to sign a letter to say that that doesn't count anymore on the annexation part, whatever you paid, when the Turk rules, they send a letter to the board, and they send one to the treasurer's office to credit back whatever you paid over. It's a year later, but you get paid back.
But like the note or that I thought that I, the piece of paper I filed in the office to come and have a hearing, it said not focus on taxes.
Focus on valuation.
Yep. I presented that case, I thought, pretty thoroughly. I don't know what a lot of people come with.
No, it's good. You have comps. That's good.
And whatnot.
They're people.
Do you feel like...
You did good. I mean, that's how you're supposed to do it.
But, this year over year, what was done here, I feel was based off of purchase price and not valuation. And just give me 1 second.
Yeah.
This went up 249.5% in valuation in 1 year's time. We couldn't have gotten there without it being based on, on purchase price. I was up against the wall and needing some bins last year. Big crop coming. That's neither here nor there. This is in my backyard. It's like the farm across the road. You only get one shot to buy it.
Yep.
But 250%, I feel, is a little bit of a tough pill to swallow.
And it is. And you're right. It looks screwy in the sense that, but it's not like a one-year change. What it is it's actually been a couple of years coming. It's a commercial reappraisal project we're doing, and it's because we've had over a decade where stuff didn't change consistently. It was too low. So what you're seeing are bigger jumps, what you should typically see is maybe 1 year you might get a 2% increase. You might go 2 years with nothing.
It's been more than a decade, too.
Then you'll get a 4, but if you go over 10, 15 years without, and that's what happened. We just did a new land study. The cost tables that are used now were like 1999, 98, they're 2016 now. So just what it cost to build a bin in 1998 versus 16 changes. And then, you know, of course, we'll depreciate it back based on age. But
the other thing is, like, so that blue sheet that I filled out after purchasing it.
Yeah.
And me putting down agricultural, that holds no value. That doesn't hold any water.
No, it's good. No, it works for us in our office because we have it in the ag and we know what you're using it for. Yeah, it's a statute thing. I mean, if we ever get legislation that changes that, that this in the record makes that helps us make that change.
Oh,
that's fine. No, so that's okay. I mean, so it's good that you do this because that's sale data that down the road we can use. This becomes part of your record.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
See you, Nick.
Okay, so we're on the last page, right?
Mm-hmm. Not quite.
395, isn't it?
Not quite.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
22006 0622 Warren W. Niles, revocable. Gropes to trustee Deborah, 89-69 That went down. Okay. 22001850 Kent Meyer from 13-5 So they went down.
This is another salvage. I asked him to bring in. I guess the city condemned. He gutted it and he was going to remodel it. And then the city saw him working on it and sent out the inspector. They condemned it. He has to tear it down. I would have liked him to bring that in to me, but he does have some pictures where you can see just like it's salvage value. So they should be scanned in there, but some of them are blurry. You can
is that in Hubbard?
Termite damage. I think it's in town actually. It's 817 West 6th Street.
Oh, it looks like one of those.
It's just a dingy little. Box,
600
He wanted to convert it. I mean, he wanted to fix it up for a rental, but it's not worth anything.
Sure.
I'd appreciate it as salvaged. I did a 95% salvage depreciation, and then plus the land.
Okay.
So I would have liked him to bring in that thing from the city inspector, but he never did. But you can tell from the pictures that it's pretty bad shape.
Okay. 22004390 Brandon L. Troutwine, 95,920-113 So 18,000
Houston
market.
No change.
Okay.
Right.
That's one of those I got.
Where's Woodway at? I've never heard of that.
Under the bridge. They're off of
39th, isn't it?
Yeah. You go 39th, you go underneath the bridge, that little area right under there.
To the south
bridge.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Bridge people.
Yep.
See? Okay. Yeah. Commercial 22014465 Irish Properties. $6,690,000 to $10,850,000
Who's is that? Scott Moe. Yeah. Tony Gomez. Gomez not.
But now we have an income approach value on it now.
Which is?
Where's Irid? Yeah.
8928880
There's those taxes from.
What are they?
Oh, apartments. This is. They're not low income, so you'll see a value. They're bigger too. But
where's it at, Jeff?
Is this is this Dakota Point?
This is the one down, what is that, 16th Street?
Interstate. Is this Interstate Apartments, or are you talking further down?
Further down, on the, heading towards...
River?
Yeah, heading towards the river. They're on,
17.
I think that's 16th, isn't it?
11, 12, East, Harbor Apartments.
So there you go.
By Missouri View Lane.
Yep, their office is right when you turn in. Sure. There's several buildings.
So we got that set at 8 what?
$8,928,880
About $9 million.
Yep.
So and that's nice. Based on income. Their 10 was based on cost, I think.
That's a nice little jump.
Income until they protested.
Okay. We were too far.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But you'll see the value difference when you actually don't have a low income unit versus one that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so the rest of all these here are all Liberty, right?
Liberty. On the sheet. There'll be 20. There should be 21 of them.
And are those all in Turk?
That is 21.
No. Turk, no. I think we settled a year or so ago. And this is their first protest back with us.
And that's the number. Okay.
Like yeah, like that's, shoe. That's the number in black at the bottom.
Shoe?
They're like an old shoe that is.
Okay.
Yeah. They, next we're just all buddies with them, you know.
What's the one big one they have, the 650?
So their biggest value parcel, that's the one that has the those little triplexes. There's A through F.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Those are the specialty ones. You have to be in counseling over across the street. I could have been in that counseling.
Yeah.
No, if you're, no, if you go there, you get,
oh, yeah.
You get a stay there.
You're recommending the current value?
No, it's $1,642,390.
Yeah.
I know.
And then we have to break that down into the 21 individual parcels.
Oh, okay.
So
that's a total of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
what is the total of these?
$1,642,390.
And you feel like you guys are in a good spot on those?
Where were they at last year? After they did the Turk and all that other business.
Grab one of their parcels.
I'll tell you if they're good or not with it. I think we'll be able to tell. But see, the guy
has still got to read all the parcels.
Yeah,
I just
need a
parcel. Well, while you're doing this, I'll read them all.
You read them all.
Okay, go ahead.
Read them all.
22002330122009259 22009463 22011188 2 22012702622014264522 22014582322014529622014583022014582322014529622 22017185122017183862
We have the list of
22017895 22018115 22019617 22019638 9 22019642 7 22019388 22020606066 22020683 84 That's all 21 of them.
I missed, like.
Hey, so what was their value then prior?
We're looking it up right now, guys. I have to go to a different spreadsheet.
So we're done for the time being, obviously. Once we adjourn with all this business, we're done through all of them. And now there's another group that's going out. Is there another group that's going out that they possibly could come back and protest yet or not?
A group of clericals?
What is it, clericals?
Yeah, just clericals. Is that all it was clericals?
Mm-hmm. And that window had expired on the first or second group that we did, and no one's protested.
Perfect.
Good.
So we'll see. We got one more group of clericals on today's agenda.
Well, we thank you guys for doing what you did and all your hard work.
Looks like we had it at, and this is the 15 was $938,058.82. There's one more in between. I can get that record up.
Well, there has to be one in between, like 16. Well, 16.
Yeah, I got 16 here.
That's 16.
Find that guy.
I remember that year.
Yeah.
Good year.
The border.
Let's see if this is the one.
Is that a good year, Marty?
That's all right.
You bet.
South Sioux City is 164. That's the new one. Okay. We're getting a little closer. South Sioux City Liberty Place was. Yeah.
Kevin Rogers the other day. He was looking at the CRP with his old place there.
Nice.
He probably should have done it this year. There's nothing there.
They're full right now.
Are they? CRP. They aren't taking any more.
No, or they might be getting in the fall, but it doesn't look like probably.
No kidding. He missed the boat there, didn't he? Because he'd farm that long enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think, did Kevin cash in that? Or?
I don't think so. I think it's a
That was the. I think we started out and said we were at the one set. We were at 1.7.
1.7.
So this is lower than last year.
And then we had to. We ended up at 938 on that TERP pace because we had to use their expenses, which are like 80-some% of their effective gross income. So now what I did is I went back and I took all their data over the course of 4 years for all seven of my low-income units and averaged them out to come up to, they have 60, they all average 60% together versus that 80. So now I put everybody at 60. I don't give them a choice anymore.
So you can...
So I'm back, and so the guys that cheat, like, well, Canterbury will start now because it's Selden Company that manages these. Selden Company is the one that knows the system.
All right.
So they beat us, they got us last year, but now we've got them. So,
well, this is a good number.
Yeah, I got the guy out of Lancaster County, how they did it, and that's what he said. The only way to beat that is to do averages, and they just have to have the data, so we put it all together. And
good
deal. Yeah, so now we're going full
paper
60s.
For you, Joan.
All right. I wish we should have.
Man, I wish we had two more pages.
Okay, that was
last year.
That was it.
Now you guys so clarify.
I need a motion to accept the referee's recommendation and the current total recommendations on the ones that we did not do a separate hearing on.
I couldn't tell you how many that is.
The separate, it looks like we did.
Do you want to know? I don't
know. Yeah. No. All right. I'll make that motion to accept the referee's recommendation then.
No, I'd second that.
Same for the same.
Yep.
Tony.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Marty.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Nice job.
Okay.
Yeah.
The new business section A done.
No, section B.
Jeff to present a report of clerical errors.
Okay, guys.
Are you about done with clerical errors?
Yeah, this is it. Might not be it.
You might want to look at the Anderson thing.
Yeah, I got to look at the Anderson thing.
You're going to have to look at all of his comps now.
Yeah, how many did he put in? He won't tell me, but he turned them in.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do
like
that.
Four comps.
Bryce is probably his customer.
Yeah.
Was.
So I shouldn't add that to the letter.
Hey. Yeah.
Nick says.
Thanks, Nick.
You're not paying.
I just didn't have it.
So we have 2 sets.
How many?
I think Joan had some sweets.
I got them.
I'll look for
them. What, your houses?
Your houses.
So we'll do neighborhood one.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
See you next year. Good job.
Have a good one. We'll be only 100 next year.
Oh, or here, give that back to
us. Yeah, but they're going to be a lot madder.
There's
going to be a more.
You're home at your
show. Yeah, 70 pictures.
With all your land. And your
No.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
It'll
Thank
be a lot less.
With the pool, I'm going to say you got to be around 400.
You guys did good.
Yeah.
Thanks,
God.
I'm way over.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping open contract.
See you from the first.
The pool is fantastic.
We're getting it done. I like it.
Sometimes the pool is the crazy.
You need a wheel cart in here.
That's not talking land.
That's what I'm wondering. I think Joan. Is that the
land at the house? That's
yeah.
You guys have to keep the rentals for like 3 years or something?
They've been controlled
a little bit.
Since we have a scan, I don't know why we'd have.
I'm small enough that I can just run overnight.
What would you sell it for?
Yeah, you'll keep up all right.
So yeah. What would you sell it for?
What do we got for clarity?
Sell and get us to the point.
I don't know.
But if you ever went to...
You don't want to look for a phone yet?
You know, I looked into it a little bit. I can't do that. I just got out of school about a year ago.
What kills me is if you remember
my grandson, he turned.
We went from Joan has the one for you this year.
Or do you next leave them here?
No, Joan's got.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Clerical errors, neighborhood 115.
So which ones?
We had three on there. Two of them were big ox that we.
That's right. She took them.
That we did this morning, and another one we had done on a previous, on 7-6, we had set the value. So I'm not sure. Okay. So I need to find them on here and see what you maybe, you're recommending they do.
Yeah, whatever it is, and that, and we'll just. Those we'll just ignore and go, because we just went to current with everyone. And then that, and I think you have the original for Kevin to sign on 150.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
The clericals for this neighborhood 115.
Yeah.
It went from 16,338.50 to 17,879.821. So a raise of 1,541,771. And it looks like however many.
Oh, I think we had
50, 75.
Clerical orders.
Yeah, and they're
right in that ballpark.
Okay.
And then,
I don't see them on your sheet, so I'll find them later.
Okay, right. But those will just be, we got
to
stay.
If we have to redo this for him to sign, we can do that.
I can just delete the lines online and resend you one.
And then, if you want to, there's three on. The second miscellaneous clerical also, Fred Dinker, we had already done. Ronald Rapp, we had already done.
Yes.
Don't bring him in.
Trustees, we already done. And did you want to add?
I'm going to keep the glasses.
So this.
Racket ball. They're almost racket ball glasses.
This would be sheet that Anderson would go on. Because this is the miscellaneous. This was just anything else that we saw changes over 5% on. We dumped it and then just looked at it to see if there was an error.
Okay.
Leo's parcels can be added. And then probably the other parcels that they found.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I just sent myself a reminder email. And
boy, that's
on that board.
He stuck to his guns.
He did good. Yeah, he was consistent.
Stuck to his guns and told us no. Yep, that was fine.
Yeah. So guys get real crazy and buy an 80 next to me and pay way too much for it.
That's what we needed. That's all we got to do.
Because it's right next to me.
But yeah.
And I don't want this value 2 years from now. Will you lower it for me?
Yeah.
How do you argue that?
I don't
care.
Yeah. It's tough to argue.
I mean,
wow, purchase price.
You know? Generally, in the TURP hearing, you know, that when I see something like that, I don't have to worry about doing a lot of prep work. I just give them a copy of the 521 and then let them explain the way.
And the only reason I ask him about his personal property, I thought he could add it up to more than that. But the hell, I can write right to your numbers.
Yeah, and then it added.
You didn't know that at the time.
No, I had no idea. No.
So, yeah.
Well, I think it was a good idea, and I was trying to look it up to figure out why the difference would have been there. But
well, I looked at his list, and I thought, well, hell, maybe there's 80 guys.
Yeah.
I do a lot of tile work and things like that. And a lot of times when I'm moving around, just countless.
Carpet or anything.
No, just from tile and stuff like that.
Just ask a lot of the old inmates.
The old knuckle dragger.
Yeah, old knuckle dragger.
Okay, so.
This is a good one. So on the miscellaneous. Because this is one we found an omitted property, that Big Ox, which we've talked enough about it today, but Big Ox, the guys went out and picked it up out of the new construction, so we added $12 million of value there.
Good.
So this one ended up being $12,534,688 up. This is like ag stuff, rural stuff.
So the $12 million for the Big Ox construction, that was just that project?
Yeah,
we
did a percent 1 year, and then we go out and we pick it up and do a percent complete, and for some reason that didn't roll first draft.
Good.
So they're probably happy when they got they got nothing in the mail, so they're thinking, okay, it didn't go up. Well, you're going to get something now.
Sorry to interrupt. This is a clerical that we sent a new value to, but she actually protested it. You know, it's a neighborhood 100.
Okay.
So we already sent them out a new value, but she also protested. I don't think we discussed it at all, but I have a feeling that she's going to protest the clerical value. So I'm not really sure. It didn't come up. You know, it was just one of those weird ones where she already got sent any value. But
oh, okay.
So that trumps this, then, right?
And
so
she
she'll
wants
have to protest
go up.
That. Yeah. She does want to go up. Yeah.
No more protests.
I know it's never.
Okay, I don't know what to do. Okay, so we'll just have to deal with her when she comes back in. So she has time to reprotest.
Yes. Okay, perfect. I was sure if we needed to look at it.
No, she can just reprotest.
All right, bye, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Jameson. And then Neighborhood 110 had four more that added $6,735 that I didn't have in the last one. We found those two.
Okay.
And so, that ends the clerical, except for I got to look at some comps, apparently. And on this list, Joan, Rapp I had on here because I didn't know what we did with him.
The one out at Rotunda?
Yeah.
We went to the appraisal.
They dropped him 10% on it. So that was one, and I added it to mine because of equalization, because he'd be the only one in phase four with 10%. Nobody else even has depreciation. The problem with that appraisal was when he did the appraisal in August, the sale, the smoking gun sale as we call them, was Odell's house for $384,000, which is more than his. It's about almost 500 square feet smaller, 7 years older or 6 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So when you comped it back down, that put him right back up at 409. And I had him at 417. So I'm not sure what we want to do with it. I know if we leave the 10%, he'll actually be lower than people who aren't even on the water. I mean, I couldn't build his house for $375,000.
So you would add him to the clerical?
Yeah, he spent $54,000 or $55,000 on the lot, and then he's got 2,100 plus square feet on the main, and they get listed him at about 2,000 partition finish in the basement. And even at $150 a square foot, he's over four. Well, two of his neighbors are too, and they just didn't protest. They went over four last year.
Right.
They came in, and when I talked to them, they understood.
So he should be on the list.
So really, I don't know what to do with him. If we don't have anybody trying to take us to Turk, then it doesn't create a problem for us in Rotunda's neighborhood because nobody can pull it out and say you're not equalized. And then I'll just fix it next year.
And yeah, nobody can.
And I don't know of anybody.
Situation starts to happen.
Yeah.
But nobody can protest beyond this point now, can they?
No, it'd have to be something we have out there, and I don't know of anybody off the top of my head that would use this against us.
I would say put him at what he's supposed to be.
Yeah. But then we can say, then we just say that that appraisal is no good, a 1 year old appraisal. Then yeah. What makes an appraisal good? If you're borrowing money against an appraisal.
Yeah, that's the first problem, like with this appraisal, he did this for Bart's Bank. It was a mortgage appraisal. And technically, that's not supposed to influence a fee appraiser, but it does, because the banks set the guidelines you use. Mm-hmm. You got to bracket it. You got to have one that's sold for about the same amount. You got to have one that's higher, one that's lower. They kind of dictate what they can pull for comp. So this was done by Nepple Appraiser, and those guys are pretty good. Like, we won't turn this one in, because when he pulled it, he didn't have the two best. Because we got Cools on the river that sold for $365, and I got a $384 on a lake, and he's at $375, and his house is superior by at least $40,000.
Was there a lot of land that went with Cools on the river?
6 acres is all.
Because I remember him dividing it out.
Yeah, he wanted to sell the whole thing for like as a big four number, and then he just couldn't get any takers, and then he took out 6 acres. Yeah. And on that, so that's like $40,000 for the first acre, $25,000 for the second, and $3,000 for everything else.
It's a beautiful home on the river.
Oh, yeah. And then, like at Rotunda, the lot sales are $56,000 for half an acre. So it's $112,000 an acre. So they have to adjust that much out. So his appraisal, when it's comped out the right way, would put this house probably closer to $420,000. He just didn't do it. He didn't have any sales there to do it with. So he used the best.
Did you from your phone?
And so the problem with it is it was for a mortgage. And the second problem is he tried to stick with the sales on new construction. He should have used new construction. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't have a comp like it to do it. And then his other problem is on a comp, so you got to put adjustments on it. Keep it easy, Bill. Yeah, and the rule of thumb is you can only go 10% on your first bank of adjustments. Your net can't exceed 20, and your average can't exceed 15. He's got three of his comps that are all over the allowable percentages because they're that bad. And not bad because he kind of was forced to pull them.
I think we should clerical him, put him where he's supposed to be.
On there, because I'm not. The appraisal. I could probably call Dennis and have him redo it and look at it. He wouldn't argue with us. Yeah. Not if I gave him those two.
Yeah, we'll do it right.
Yeah. I just don't want to see it.
Okay, well then I'll leave it on. I just wasn't sure because it was already done. And then was there another one, Joan? You said I had on here. I tried to do something.
Then why did? And not that it makes a difference to me, but why did we decide to do it the other way just a couple days ago?
Yeah, I'm not.
Because of the
appraisal. I think the guys just decided with the appraisal. They never talked to me about it, so I never got a chance to review it. And normally that's what we do. If we see an appraisal, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to review it myself first because usually most of them are okay. But like last year, out of 970, I don't know how many turned in appraisals, but we had to turn in 6 of them. Out of way more than that. Normally, all right.
Perfect.
All right. So, the clerical errors were presented. We got them. Move on to mail and or emergency business.
We have to make a motion.
Oh. Do we have to take a motion to accept the clerical errors? Is that what you're saying?
The chair to sign.
The list? Yeah.
Okay, so moved on. Have the chair to sign in on the clerical errors.
Second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay,
that's the end of new business. Mail or in emergency business. I don't have anything. Public comment?
Come here.
Nobody left in the public. We're adjourned. It is 3:09.
There you have it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Tony.
Excellent.
It was a lot of fun to...